Seeing the beauty of America's soul and the steel in America's spine. Each test has forged new American heroes to remind us who we are and show us what we can be.
Tonight it's very clear, as we're both lying here, there's so many things I wanna say. I will always love you, I would never leave you alone. Sometimes I just forget, say things I might regret. It breaks my heart to see you crying. I don't wanna lose you, I could never make it alone.
Who we are, this is what we believe, and these are the values that will guide us as we strive to build an even better and greater future. Destiny is in our sights. America's heroes are embedded in our hearts. America's future is in our hands. And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Mark is hiding from us at the moment. Mark, if you can hear me, you're going to have to hop off and hop back on. We don't have your picture, my friend. Welcome, everybody, to a Channel 17 Town Square tonight. We are pleased to have the one and only Patriot Underground with us to do a roundtable discussion on all things continuity, government, Q, the Patriot Movement, just talk about it, where we are in the process and where we're headed. So with that, I'd like to welcome Patriot Underground. Patriot, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing great. It's great to see you, Dave. And I saw Mark a couple of minutes ago. It was great to see Mark. I'm sure we'll have him pop back on in just a moment. But yeah, it's wonderful to be back. It's really an honor. Thank you guys for having me. We've had a couple of really great behind the scenes discussions. You, Mark, and myself, we did our last show and it was wonderful. My audience really loved it. And so I'm really looking forward to tonight. Thanks,
man. Welcome back, Mark. We can see you now. Can you see us, Mark?
Looks like he's having an audio issue there.
All right. Well, maybe pop out and pop back on, my friend, or I'm not sure. All right. Well, anyway, we'll keep going. Yeah, yes, you know, thanks again for coming back on, Patriot. I, you know, as I said the last time, if you guys didn't watch our previous show, one of the things I really like about your platform and your shows and the way you present your information, and I think that's one of the reasons our audiences kind of cross over and mesh so well, mm-hmm. is, you know, you really take the same approach that I kind of do, which is I'm very clear about telling people. I don't try to pretend that I have any kind of magic intel source. I don't have anybody from the military that calls me. I'm just a guy like the rest of you here in the audience. And that's what me, myself, and you, and Mark, and everybody else on these channels are trying to do, right? We're trying to figure it out. And what really, you know, and you're one of the to me, one of the most, a lot of people say this about our channel, but I honestly think that, you know, for me, you're one of the more level-headed, calming voices in the movement. I think that's why you've had so much success on your platform. Because, you know, I said the first time we did a show together, you're one of the people that I listen to, right? When I'm trying to get my head out of the craziness and hear what some of the other people are talking about, I listen to you. And I think what really kind of sparked this to give you the genesis of what we're going to talk about tonight was, guys, Patriot Underground did an episode. This was about a week ago on the 27th. This is his Patriot Underground episode 364. And again, if you guys on coming over from News Treason don't currently follow Patriot Underground, we have his information in the description and we're scrolling his information below. Highly recommend, if you, like I said the first time we did a show, if you like what we do over here on this channel, you're going to love what Patriot Underground does on his. I think they mesh well together. And Mark, can you hear us now, my friend?
I hear you now.
All right. Good. Sorry about the technical difficulties, guys. These things happen. But it was this episode that sparked us to reach back out to Patriot Underground. You know, we had been planning to do more content together, but I think, and if you guys haven't seen it, it was a solo, you know, hour-long monologue type of show that Patriot did last week, a couple days after the Diddy incident and the bridge incident. And I listened to the whole thing and I said, wow, you know, this is absolutely a perfect summary of what everybody in the movement, I believe, is feeling right now. And Patriot, I'll let you talk on it more in a second. But what I took out of it is that you did an amazing job of navigating people through what I openly talk about all the time, which is, what are some of the sources of the anxiety that we have here as Anons in this movement, right? Like, what is it that keeps us up at night? What is it that is giving us that angst that we all carry around? And then what causes us to head towards those moments of, you know, I hate the term blackpilled. I hate when that gets thrown around, but what causes us to move towards those things? And, you know, you said what I think is at the basis of all of our angst, which is the notion of, and I hate to put it this way, but the notion of what if, for some people, it's what if we got duped? What if it doesn't play out the way we expect it to? You know, so many of us have put so much energy into this. And let's face it, human psychology does not bode well to having people anticipating events for years on end without that moment of vindication, right? There are people that spend their entire adult lives chasing something because you need that moment, that vindication, that accomplishment, that. And I thought you summed it up very well. I know you said at the time you thought maybe people might look at it as you being blackpilled. I don't think that's the case at all. I think we all fully are on board and still believe with what's happening. But I thought it was such a, and I sent it to everybody in the channel. I said, everyone should watch this because it sums up how we all feel right now. And it's okay to ask questions, right? We're all navigating this together. And I just think you did a phenomenal job. And I said, I sent it to Mark. I said, I think this would be a great topic for the three of us to discuss and expand on it. Because let's dive through what we're seeing right now in the current events, what we're not seeing that we expected to, and what are the implications for all that going forward. And then the three of us got together on a call the other day just to kind of prepare for this. And we had a phenomenal conversation. And I hope to continue that tonight. So Patriot, why don't you talk, you know, if you can give us some kind of Cliff Notes summary. I know many of us have seen it, but try to give us a little bit of a Cliff Notes summary about what you talked about that night and why, and then sure. We can get started here.
Sure, absolutely. Well, thank you for the kind words. I really do appreciate it, Dave, and I appreciate, you know, everybody out there in the audience who took the time to listen to it. Let me just say this. My approach, and first of all, I agree with everything you said about the simpatico in terms of how I approach my analysis. And what I immediately noticed, actually, I saw Mark for the first time, and I saw it in Mark, and then I saw it in you. And I knew right away that you guys, in terms of, like you said, very balanced, very level-headed. That's the way that I try to approach my analysis. But I also try to do it in a way that's honest. I don't try to, sugarcoat the way that I'm feeling. I guess in some ways, as my channel has gotten bigger, I've gotten a little bit more, I guess, of a sense of, I don't know if it's responsibility is the right word, but to try. I've always been trying right from day one when I basically had no subscribers to paint an optimistic picture, not because I'm trying to sell anybody anything, but because that's genuinely the reflection of how I feel. And so my analysis, my work is just based on how I feel and the way that I see things. And as an ordinary American who doesn't have any sources, quote unquote, I don't have any military sources or people, you know, whispering in my ear, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And I think honestly, that's what people resonate with the most. To be perfectly frank, I think that folks really appreciate hearing a reflection of what they're feeling, whether or not it's popular, whether or not it's something they want to be feeling, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable. I've learned on my journey that if I have a role in the Great Awakening at all, in this movement at all, it's to be that voice, or at least to be one of those voices that communicates to my audience and to people who resonate with me, certainly not everybody, but how I am viewing the events as they happen. And this was not the first time when a series of events had happened. And I kind of went into that. I call it a valley, you know, there's peaks and valleys mm-hmm. in this journey. And this isn't the first time I've been in a valley. And it's not the first time that I've told my audience, like, this is how I'm feeling at this moment. But I always, like you say, the 72-hour rule is just so important. I come back, I reevaluate, I reflect, and then I revisit a lot of those things. And I think my audience understands that. Like, I may say certain things on any given day because that's how I'm genuinely feeling and I'm expressing that. But at the same time, it's not my final answer. You know what I mean? It's not like what I hang my hat on. This is a fluid process. Things are continually evolving. Things are continually changing. And I think we have to be fluid and change with them. Now, as far as that episode, all of us experienced the news of the Diddy raid. It was on a Monday. And I remember a few weeks back, I had done an episode where I had talked about Q the Storm Rider, who had put out some information on Diddy and how he was going to be taken down and all these things. So the raid, all of a sudden, just, you know, the news broke of the raid, and I got swept up in that information frenzy. I saw the military force coming in there. That's what it looked like. The, you know, the assault rifles drawn, the people in cuffs. And I thought to myself, this is it. This is a moment right here. Somebody's getting arrested. And as a matter of fact, I think everybody thought that his kids were arrested. They had the helicopter footage. I mean, so I got all swept up in. And the long and the short of it is that I expected we were going to see an arrest that day. And when we didn't, the following day, of course, the bridge happened, and that was like, that's a whole separate subject in and of itself. But I kind of found myself reminded. I think the last time I really felt that sense of letdown and disappointment to that level, and I it's kind of bizarre because I've never really, and I've said this in my episode, I've never put a huge amount of emphasis on Diddy. It's not like I've been saying, just wait, guys, when they come for Diddy, that's going to be the moment. I mean, that's never been anything that I've really been talking about. But I think that it reminded me of how I felt after the midterm elections, because at that point in time, I really thought that we were going to see the military step in at that point. I didn't think we were going to have the midterms. And I remember, you know, telling my audience for weeks ahead of time, probably months, that, you know, I was expecting, and I certainly wasn't the only one, but I was expecting that we were going to see you know, an EBS or some sort of overt military action or some sort of big moment that was going to make the election not go forward. And so just to kind of take you through my thought process here. So this raid happened. We didn't get the arrest. It brought me back to 2022 and that same sort of disappointment that I felt. And I started to kind of connect the dots between 2022 and 2024, this being an election year. And I started to kind of go down that road. Now, I've been very honest with everybody. My perspective on 2024 is that it really is a referendum year for Q in a lot of ways because of the election. And that's really the way that I was trying to frame my analysis in the sense of saying, well, at what point, given the fact that we have, at least in my opinion, a relatively narrow window to have some big moment happen that would be big enough to interrupt the election and have overt military action, at what point are we going to see that? And I think even beyond that, I started to really ask myself the question that the three of us discussed the other day, like what would be the harm? Because I think all of us agree that we're watching a scripted movie. We're watching a movie that's the White Hats are pulling all the strings. I mean, Dave and Mark, you guys do as good a job, if not better than anyone out there, at pointing out the deltas on a daily basis and really just demonstrating. In fact, you put that that video together, that was it the 10 moments or the 10 videos that prove you're watching a movie. So, I mean, you guys do this amazingly well. So if the White Hats are actually pulling the strings at that, where I was in that kind of headspace, I was thinking to myself, you know, how significant it would be or would have been if, let's just say, they are directing this pantomime, this movie. And let's just say that the Diddy raid was a controlled operation, which I happen to believe it was. What's the harm in maybe if there's some tactical reason or logistical reason, part of the plan that you can't go ahead and arrest him now, why not take his passport? Why not have some sort of an indication that, yes, there is actually something here? And one of the things that I talked about is that in general, the normies, and you guys know this, if you give them an out, they're going to take it, no matter how crazy it is. We saw that. We've been seeing this for the past like 3-4 years. If anybody gives them an excuse not to believe something, they're going to latch onto that excuse not to believe it. And so, you know, I went into work the following day. I asked a couple of people, hey, did you hear about the news and this and that? Oh, there was no arrest. Oh, it's just a witch hunt. Oh, you know, so in a sense, kind of parroting back the same thing that we've heard over and over and over again. And so here I am thinking we're going to have this really big moment. And the next day, it just seems like it's like business as usual in the sense that nobody is really talking about it. People are brushing it off. And at that point in time, I just found myself in a real, I guess you could say, a difficult place emotionally, because I hear from my audience all the time, as you guys do, and I'll let Mark jump in here in a moment, but how much people are struggling. And let's face it, I mean, all of us have sacrificed. All of us are struggling right now. And like, you know, you and I, Dave, we talked about it, and I couldn't agree more. You know, in any war, even if you go back to World War II, I mean, they always recognize that at a certain point, you know, there's a psychological breaking point where people have to have a little bit of a, you know, a morale boost. And right. I guess that's kind of where I was coming from. Like, why not take the guy's passport? Or if you are directing the movie, why not, you know, at least have an arrest or something that people can sink their teeth into, in the sense that we can really start having a wider, broader conversation with the normies, as opposed to the same kind of pattern that we've been seeing over and over. That's not to suggest that I think the Diddy story is going away. As a matter of fact, I did a, you know, kind of a follow-up monologue to it after a few days, after the dust had settled a little bit. And I think it was a little bit less emotional and more balanced. And that's really kind of me going back to my baseline. So I don't think this story is going away. Matter of fact, you pointed out, I think you posted an article, the New York Post article, a couple of days after, that goes into all the names and all the people that he's tied into. And so that was one of the things that I sourced for my second show, just to kind of say, all right, look, this is still a big deal. It didn't go down the way that we wanted it to. And that really is kind of the whole point, is like, we've had this expectation versus reality kind of battle going on, where we can't help because we know the truth and we know where things are headed. We can't help but get our expectations up. But then reality just doesn't seem to meet up with what our expectations were. But then we have to kind of regroup, and then we have to say, okay, wait a minute. It didn't happen the way we wanted it to, but there's about a million different positive things that happen as the result of this. And I mean, the cue drops tell us, look, you don't think about today, you think about after today. And not just this person, but who is it going to lead to? Obviously, I'm paraphrasing the drops here, but I think it was drop 4566 that talked about this in reference to Ghislaine Maxwell. But really, the whole idea is that we shouldn't get caught up in a moment. We shouldn't get all hung up in these moments and recognize the fact that we've got to be fluid. So that's where I always find myself returning to, let's just say. But I'm not going to shy away from the fact. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. I don't shy away from the feelings that people are having. Right? Yes, we know that one leads to another, to another, to another. One leads to many. But here we are. It's 2024, and we have an election looming. I don't think any of us actually think it's going to go forward. But there's always that lingering, like you mentioned, Dave, that lingering doubt that's part of just being human in the back of our minds of, okay, well, what happens if we do have an election? And I started to think along those lines, and what's that going to mean? What's that going to look like? And I think that even though I don't, because some people would say, well, if you don't think there's going to be an election, why are you even talking about it? That's not the way I approach my analysis. I mean, I don't believe that there's going to be an election, but I'm also, I'm not naive enough to believe that there's a possibility that I could be wrong and this could go in a different direction, or it could go, there's so many different possibilities. Could we have another stolen election that would bring the military in? But then again, we also had a stolen election last time, and look where we've been for the past several years, and nobody wants to go through that again. And I guess where I'm coming from is that I don't think that if we were to go down that road and we were to see another stolen election, and I don't want to get into too much here, but I'll kind of leave it at this. But, you know, if we were, where would that lead? What would that look like? How quickly would our movement, I mean, it would drastically, fundamentally change if we didn't see immediate action in response to a stolen election. What would that mean? What would that look like? And even if Trump does get elected, and we, you know, somehow they're able to mitigate all the fraud, to make sure that it's an honest vote up and down, does that necessarily get us to where we want to be? Because these past few years, as far as I'm concerned, have not been about getting Donald Trump reelected. It's been about getting the acknowledgement and the recognition that the previous election was stolen, that he's been president the entire time, not to mention the quantum financial system and, you know, the economic changes, the geopolitical conflagrations that we're seeing, all of the unsealed indictments. I think there's something close to 500,000 unsealed indictments. What's going to happen there? Are we going to see Trump get elected and then all of a sudden just start rounding all these people up and looking like a dictator? What about the border? So it just goes on and on from there. So that's kind of where I was coming from. I think a lot of people resonated with it. Certainly, I think probably more people than not, if they're really being honest, because like you said, I mean, I think we're all human. And if anybody out there has been following this movement and been a part of this journey, if you've somehow managed to never have your faith tested, if you've never gone into these valleys like me, I mean, tell me what you're doing and what I'm doing wrong, because I mean, honestly, I think everybody out there is going through this to some degree or another.
Absolutely. Mark?
No, I couldn't agree more. You know, look, I think a lot of the people, listeners all across everybody's platforms, are battle weary, basically. Everybody understands it's a war. Even the people who aren't totally awake understands it's a war. But people are battle weary. They've been told so many things. They've been promised so many things. They've been given so many dates, which you should never put any stock in to begin with. But by virtue of that, people listen. People have their hopes up. People are losing their homes. People are losing their families. People are seeing other people lose their lives, either by old age or by illness, by side effects to the jabs, all these different things, all these horrors, which are look, war has its horrors and war has its losses. I don't think anybody anticipated that it was ever going to take this long. Then by the same virtue, from the get-go, you've had people involved in this movement whose, I guess the nicest way to say it is, their focus has been in the wrong direction. A lot of people are hurting. Like I said, a lot of people have lost homes, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people are barely holding on to their homes. But a lot of people are in it just for the money. It's when is the RV going to happen? When is the RV going to happen? Then you get all of the setbacks that you hear on Telegram, you hear on Rumble, and you hear on Truth Social and everywhere else that this is happening. Oh, if you look at the Julian calendar as opposed to the Gregorian calendar, it's going to be this day. And they follow the dates just because, like you said, Patriot, it's human nature. You're getting tired of the same thing over and over again, and somebody throws you what seems like a little crumb. And immediately you grab hold of that. And it's like, I think the analogy I used with Dave last night was, it's Charlie Brown, Lucy, and the football. And every time that, you know, she tees it up and holds it in position, Charlie Brown goes, oh, this time she's going to keep it there, and comes running up and boom, lands on his butt again. This is what's happening to the people. And in combination with that, you've got people who are awake, and they understand and fully grasp it's a movie, it's a military action, and they're going to tell you certain things, and certain things are going to occur, and you're going to be able to see them because you are awake, and you're going to recognize them for what they are. But there are also a lot of things that people who aren't as awake take a look at and say, like you brought up before with Diddy, why didn't they arrest him? Why didn't they take it out? As I've looked at a bunch of times, from the first time that they indicted Trump and arrested him and this and that and the other, immediately, right from that point, they could have gone after everybody in federal, state, and local governments all across the country and started indicting, seizing tax records, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they didn't. And all these things lead to the frustration and the angst and the anger and the disillusionment that everybody's experiencing now. Look, if we're going through it and we know what's going on, imagine your typical patriot who's not quite as awake. I've brought it up a bunch of times before. We went to a couple of the Reawaken America tours, and it's great to be in amongst like-minded people, but most of them are really not awake. They know there's a problem. They know the problem has to be fixed, but they have no idea as to what's actually going on behind the scenes. So how do you get to those people? How do you lift them out of that hole? How do you grab them and try to get things going? And you had your special, which was fantastic, and laid it out so people can understand it a lot more. And Dave did the 10 videos that showed people that it's a movie. But just like the idea of sending out healing energy to somebody, the receiver has to be open, and they have to be willing to accept that healing energy. And same thing with this. You can nod your head and say, yeah, I agree. That's right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But back here, you're saying, this is BS. Come on. You got to show me something. And that's that battle weariness that people are going through. And we've got to try and take that step beyond and give, in whatever way, shape, manner, or form we can, give a little bit of hope to the people out there who are just barely holding on. You know, we've had a bunch of people, and Dave and I have discussed this, and I think we discussed it with you the other day, about people going to and people who have taken their lives because all of the pressures, monetary pressures, abandonment by family, abandonment by friends, you know, ridiculed by coworkers and this and that and the other. And then the thought of, well, what if I hitch my wagon to the wrong side? So all of the people that are dealing with this and dealing with, as Charlie Ward said a bunch of times, it's one thing to be conned. It's another thing to admit that you've been conned. That's the harder part. I don't think we've been conned. There's an end to this, and we're heading towards it. We might be right on top of it. Everybody's always said we're right on the precipice of it. But when you're going through that angst and you're experiencing those problems and you're going through all that negative energy and you get a couple of people on the chats who are just not raining on your parade, pissing all over it, it's like, where do you go? So how do you, you know, inject some nitrous oxide in there and get people laughing again? So it's this is where we're at. And well, it's hard.
Well said.
Agree on all points. And I think what I'd like to do here is I think what the key is this, right? So I did this video. I'm going to do a shameless plug for a minute, but I think it's important, actually. It's not a shameless plug. I could care less, obviously. But I put this video up last week. It's been one of the most watched videos that I've done, right? And what it, you know, many of you saw it. It was basically 10 videos that prove you're watching a movie, right? All the CGI, the anomalies, the fake inauguration. I'm working on a part two. There will probably be a part two and a part three. Why am I pointing this out? Honestly, not because I want to promote it. I'm pointing this out because when I put this up, it was the Thursday before Easter. And the mood of the chat, our chat, many other chats, X, a lot of the Anons was pretty high. And a lot of people that saw this were like, wow. I mean, I just got a lot of amazing feedback from people like, you know, thank you. I've been looking for something like this that I could send to my friends. You know, it's a good summary. This is amazing. Oh my God, you reminded me. I even had people, amazingly enough, tell me that they had husbands and wives that haven't been able to believe anything. And then when they saw that, it kind of brought them on board. And that's great. That's why we do it. It was interesting to watch because I think what happened over the weekend, especially with Easter, is I think a lot of people had to go home. A lot of people had to spend time with normies. A lot of people had to sit and bite their tongue. A lot of people might have expected something to happen on or around Easter. And it was almost predictable that like Monday and Tuesday were some of the darkest times I've seen, at least in my chat. I popped over to yours, Patriot. It wasn't too much better over there either. A bunch of them, right? And it's understandable because you kind of go back to normie world and you almost get like a slap of reality. Like, wait, we still have a long ways to go. And it drags you down. But, and by the way, I agree on every point that both of you just made, just to save time, right? I absolutely do. Anybody that's been around our channel last few days know I've been in a very dark place because I read every comment. I read every thing in the chat. I think it's important for me to be kind of dialed into what people are saying, right? So you not only have your own doubts and your own concerns, but you feed the energy of everybody else's. What I'd like to bridge tonight, and again, guys, we haven't scripted this. This is just a free-flowing thing. So this is going to go in any direction we want to go. But I think what I try to do, while freely admitting I go into all those dark places that everybody else does, but, you know, very often I've been kind of accused at times in my announcements channel of like kind of cheerleading for Q and, you know, and that's not the case. See, what I do and the reason, and Patriot, thank you for your compliment on what we put in the announcements channel. You know, it's, I think you need to have, most normies would tell us we got a couple of screws loose if we can see all this stuff that we see going on in the movie, but whatever the talent or the autistic tendencies are, you see this stuff and you just keep posting it. Now, why do I do that? Because I think that while I agree on all these points, right, what I try to do in this channel is I try to think of like what I went through years ago when I first got into this and I had those real hardcore doubts. And even now where I have those moments of, like we're discussing today, like, what do I want to see, right? What are the things that we can latch onto? And I think there is a happy medium between this is amazing over here and we all got duped, right? That's the key, because I think what happens to some people where it gets dark is, and you presented this very well, Patriot Underground, in your video, which is you can ask questions and you can see all the stuff that obviously shows that what we're watching is a lot of pantomime and script. And to be clear, I know you agree on this well, it's not all scripted. It's not all movie. It's not all pantomime. I make the point all the time, whether you're a hockey fan or a football fan, you pick your sport, right? Your football game, you could be up 60-0 with 2 minutes left in the game. There's no way that other team is winning. But that other team could still hurt two of your players. The other team could still take a cheap shot and break somebody's leg, and that's where we are right now. So people that want to come back and say, you guys said it was all a movie, no, nobody on this panel has ever said that. But you see all this stuff happening, and you put all these different proofs out there, and I think what I try to do in my head is say to myself, look, at least consciously, I have seen too much. There is too much happening almost on a daily basis to go from one extreme to the other, which is, I think a lot of people bounce between this is real and it's happening to it's not at all. We got duped. And there's a whole spectrum in between that. And I think the reality of it is that we fall somewhere in the middle. We didn't get duped. It's absolutely real. But very often we let our own expectations kind of bring us down, bring us up. And that's why I keep posting the 17s or my commentary on crazy headlines or, you know, showing, I agree with you with Diddy, for example, just using common sense and saying that, you know what, if the cabal was in charge, they wouldn't be indicting somebody that's going to bring down all their friends and family and drag them all down with it. You wouldn't be seeing it. You wouldn't be. So I try to do that because I want to show people that, look, that maybe, yes, it's not playing out exactly the way we wanted, but that doesn't mean we all got duped. It doesn't mean that, you know, all of this fakery is being done by the Black Hats. That's just, you have to step back and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that it's all being done by them. But what we discussed the other day, Patriot, that I think we all agree on, which is a fair question, is I used the analogy the other day of like, if you've ever been to a baseball game or a football game, right? There's the Jumbotron in the stadium. And when they put something on the Jumbotron, everyone's got to look at that. No one in the stadium misses it. But then you have all those little scoreboards on the side, right? And they put stats and clocks, and you could put whatever you want in there and some people will see it. We're waiting for that Jumbotron moment, right? That water cooler moment where, like you said, if Diddy had gotten arrested, just optically, right? I think we all agree there's more behind the scenes to that than we know. But for the normies, right, we're asking ourselves, why is it that there has not been that water cooler moment yet? And that water cooler moment doesn't have to be an EBS. That water cooler moment, like we talked about, could be somebody as stupid as Adam Schiff getting arrested and getting perp walked. And if Adam Schiff were walked out in handcuffs, how great would the mood of this movement be tomorrow morning, right? Think about Monday morning. If we all woke up to Adam Schiff or one of them, just one, getting perp walked, it would be like we all had a new energy because it's that validation. And that is what you and Mark spoke about and you spoke about, which is the analogy of the guy in the trenches. That even the guys in the trenches in World War II, every couple of weeks, were told like, hey, get out of the trenches, go back to that village, you know, go get yourself some beers and a smoke and, you know, find a lady of the night and enjoy yourself and do whatever. That's what they did because they knew that mentally people needed that rest. So I think what we're really talking about is what is that? Why is there not been that water cooler type of moment yet. We can't deny that all the other stuff is happening. We can't, I think it personally, and feel free to comment on this, I think with all the stuff we've seen the last few years, it would be naive of anybody to say that this is a giant trick by the Black Hats, because you just wouldn't do it this way. But why not that seminal moment?
You also have to bear in mind, going back to the basics again, it is a military operation, period. Good generals are not going to reveal the battle plans because the enemy is going to hear it also. Everything that's being put out there for us is what they want put out there for us. Some of it's misinformation. Some of it's real information. Overall, as we've used the term before, it's all mental masturbation. It's all it is. It's something to keep us. It's the carrot dangling in front of us to keep us all moving forward to try and hold on. So, you know, bearing that in mind, people have to understand that a lot of the things they see, what you put in the video, what you said on your special Patriot, all of those things are reasons that you could see it actually moving forward, reasons you could actually see it happening. It's something to grasp hold of. Is it as real as Schiff being perp walked? Or, as we discussed the other day, if it did go down to an election and Trump wins the election and Biden refuses to leave the White House, so they have military intervention, all of these things are possibilities. But when they're ready to pull the trigger, and let's face it, that's probably one of the key points. Nothing's going to happen until whoever the actor is removed from the White House publicly, one way or another. So these are the things that we need to be looking for, but you have to look. You got to follow the breadcrumb trail. It may lead to a dead end because they're not going to tell us how, when, or where. But it is moving forward. And optimism is really hard at this point. It really is.
I agree. I agree with everything both of you guys said. And, you know, one of the things that I'm reminded of, and I think we spoke about this a little bit, but given the fact that we're all human, and like you said, Dave, right after Easter, wouldn't you know it, everyone gets in a really, you know, in a real funk after Easter. Well, I think that really kind of just, it paints the perfect picture, right? Because here we are, we're having these discussions, we're, you know, neck deep in all this information on a daily basis, and not just us, but literally everybody out there who's listening right now to this show and to other shows like it. We have a foot in two separate worlds. And I've been saying this for a very long time. I mean, you can look at that in terms of, you know, going from 3D to 5D, but really just in a practical sense, if you want to look at it as we have our foot firmly grounded in this world of the Q operation and the truth, ultimately, knowing that this is a military operation, knowing that all of these different breadcrumbs, like Q told us, crumbs make bread and crumbs are digestible. We know where we're going. We have our foot firmly rooted in that world, probably on certain days, probably close to both feet, if not both feet in that world. But then we also have to step out of that, and we have to go and we have to interact with our family, with our friends. We have to go to holiday parties and so forth. And, you know, this, it actually just popped into my brain, the poll that you put up on your Telegram channel, that I actually mirrored that on my own, just to kind of get a sense for what people would say. Right. And, you know, there were, I think, for both of us, I think our results were pretty similar, as I recall it, that a majority of the people said that they hadn't really seen any evidence that people were waking up. There was a very strong middle ground there. People were saying, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, they were slightly more awake. Right. But 51% say, you know, there's no change. They're fast asleep. And then, of course, there were, you know, a relative few who said, yeah, I was really excited. You know, I think I worded mine slightly differently than yours. But
right.
The whole point here is that we have that, we have to step into that other world. And when we do, and it's not just on holidays, it's literally every single day. That's why I brought up the, you know, the metaphor of the bubble, you know, the water cooler moment, where, you know, whenever that does happen, and it's going to happen at a certain point, we just don't know when. And that's really what's driving us crazy in so many different ways, is that we want to have that moment so we can finally break through that, that just that willful ignorance of the normies and really our friends, our family and so forth, to finally have something that we can point to and say, this is actually real, you see. And it's not really just about our vindication. It's not about an I told you so moment, even though I've said many different times and I'll own it. Our vindication is important because when you've been told that you're crazy for years and you've been called a conspiracy theorist and you've been marginalized in virtually every aspect of your life, vindication is important. But we all recognize that's not the most important thing. But the reality of the matter is that we are human. We all have to deal with these types of situations on a daily basis. And certainly, I think for me, if I'm being honest, probably just like everybody else out there, you know, we also have lives that are not, you know, aspects of our lives that aren't anything having to do with Q, anything having to do. I mean, you know, I'm a father, you know, a husband, I have, you know, different responsibilities. I go to my day job every single day. And so that's a reality. And that plays in to our mental state, it plays into our consciousness. And like you said, Dave, I'm like you. I read the comments. I mean, maybe not every single one, but I certainly do the very best I can to look at all the, you know, the comments on Telegram and the chat and so forth. And we do, we absorb that energy. So we're absorbing the energy from all the normies out there, and we get a real strong mainline dose of it, like on a holiday. And then, of course, you know, everybody comes together collectively and they go into the chat and everybody's just, you know, talking about how, you know, how they're feeling in the chat. And, you know, the term that we usually associate with that is blackpilling. And, you know, we all know what that means. I think some people genuinely, though, they're not really some people really that's their whole thing. You know, they're just trolls, right, and they're blackpill people. But I think a vast majority are the ones who are saying, well, this is just how I'm feeling right. I mean, I've seen the same people in my chat, in my comments. On one day, they'll post something incredibly optimistic and, you know, really, really wonderful, great information for everybody to be reminded of, or so on and so forth. They just have a generally good perspective on things. And then on other days, I've seen those same people saying, oh, there's no white hats. Oh, it's all, you know, like you said, oh, we've been duped and this and that. So,
right.
My interpretation of that is that these are just normal people like me, who we all have those moments. And I guess we've been told, and this is really kind of, you know, where I'll tie it together here. And this was really the basis of my criticism in that video that you referenced. We've been told this entire time that the white hats, yes, we know it's a military operation, and we certainly know that there are various different kinetic elements. And certainly we might even discuss some of the recent developments that we've seen. But I mean, we know that, but we've also been told that the reason that this had to be this way was so that people will wake up, so that people will gradually get to a point where the light bulbs will start coming on and they'll start asking questions and saying, wait a second, that doesn't seem right. And I think that that's a huge point of frustration for a lot of us, is that we don't see evidence of that. Or we also see polls that paint a very different picture from the reality that we're experiencing in our daily lives. Like, for example, 98% of people, I'm told, and I'm sure you probably heard this as well, are basically done with the jab. They're not getting any more COVID jabs. Yep. They're basically just, they're through with it, right?
Yep.
In my life, I still have people around me that would go and get a jab tomorrow, right? And I still have another example would be a probably even better one. I don't know, but 55% of people, last time I checked, believe that there was three-letter agency interference in the previous election. That's a majority of people. That's massive. When you hear news like that, you go, holy crap.
Yeah.
But then you expect to see evidence of it in your life. And I always preface it with, you know, my experience. I mean, I live in a very, very, very quote unquote liberal area. And so my perspective and my surroundings are going to be a lot different from somebody who lives, you know, let's just say in the Bible Belt or somewhere, you know, in the Midwest or, you know, along those lines. But what I continually see over and over is not people saying that their experience is different from mine. I hear people saying that their experience is very similar in terms of what they're observing. they don't see people around them saying, oh yeah, election fraud, that's a thing, or oh yeah, COVID, that was a, you know, that was a bioweapon, or that was a, you know, maybe they haven't even got to that point yet, but or just admitting. And like you said, I mean, I think that that quote that Charlie Ward put out there, I think it was Mark Twain who initially said that way back in the day. I forgot exactly how he said it, but he was basically the one who coined that phrase, which is, you know, good luck trying to convince someone that they've been conned. Conning someone's not that hard. Getting somebody to buy into something is not that hard. But then sometimes we flip that back around on us and we say, well, wait, did we get conned? Did we buy into something here? But then again, so it's like, but then we look at all the evidence and we know that we're not. We haven't been. We know that we're on the side of truth. The reality is that we wouldn't be doing this right now. We wouldn't be coming together and having this conversation if we didn't believe fundamentally that we're exactly where we're supposed to be, that the trajectory of this war, everything that we've been told. Sure, there's been a lot of disinformation. Like Mark said, there's been dates and all types of things thrown around. I think most people at this point kind of just take it with a grain of salt. If you're like me, if you hear a date, I pay no attention to it at all. But again, I think that there's a solid question to be asked, which is, if the plan is supposed to be to wake people up, then why are more people not seeing evidence of other people waking up around them? Now, maybe they are, maybe they're not. I mean, again, I'm just giving my perspective based upon my own experiences and what I've seen and heard from other people, right? And then if you then take that question, you put that question aside and you say, okay, well, if it's not really waking people up, or I mean, certainly there's evidence that people are waking up, but it's not happening as fast as we may like it to. If the White Hats are in control, why not speed it up a little bit? Why not, you know, give us that water cooler moment, even if it's not the watershed moment, maybe it's just the water cooler moment that gets the conversation started. And I think that's what that situation represented for me, because like you said, I mean, you mentioned Adam Schiff, but any one of these people, right? Whether it's Diddy, whether it's Adam Schiff, whether, I mean, who, I mean, obviously it was somebody massive like Obama or Hillary or somebody like that, that speaks for itself. But any of these major public figures, if they were seriously called into question to the point where not even the mainstream media could deny the facts of what had played out, like, for example, an arrest, where everybody sees it, it's very optical, visible, not everybody is going to necessarily jump on board with the Q movement right away, but they're certainly going to start to ask those questions. They're not going to be able to deny it anymore. And I think that for me is the biggest thing, is that once we get to a point where whatever the watershed moment is going to be, whatever that pinnacle moment is going to be, that pivot point, that's going to really be, I think, the game changer, where there's no longer this sense of divide between people as much, because the truth is finally been put out there in a way that can't be denied anymore. And that's what's, I think, causing so much of the divisiveness, and not just in terms of, you know, the Patriot movement, but really just in general. In the entire world, is that, you know, you can't withhold the truth. I mean, we've been living under wholesale deception for our entire lives, but once Q operation came along, and once we were introduced to the truth, and a lot of people, of course, had been awake long before Q, don't get me wrong, but once this real grassroots movement started, it was no longer possible for us to go back to living our lives the way we used to. And that's the thing. It's like you say, I mean, where are you going to go? I ask people that same question. I mean, you know, regardless, is we're in this one way or another. I'm in this, wherever it's going to lead, however it's going to go down, I can't go back. None of us can. You know, like once a mind is, you know, a cage mind is freed, it can never go back inside that cage again. And I think that is what drives, because what people know, it's like we're stuck in this place where we know the truth, but we're also, we're waiting on all the normies to wake up. We're waiting on the White Hats. We're waiting on so many different things that we can't control. And we have to, again, navigate those two different worlds. And we're human. And let's face it, the fact of the matter is that, you know, today I'm in a pretty good mood. I'm in a, you know, a solid place emotionally or whatever, but I'm not every day. And certainly on those days when I'm not, I'm much more likely going to, you know, go and read those comments and start to ask myself that same question about, you know, start to consider all those blackpilling, you know, type of theories out there. Like, we got duped and this and that. It's like, I think it's part of being human. But I also disagree and respectfully with people out there who say that you should never talk about it and that we should just, you know, like, I mean, I had people saying to me in the some of the comments, and most of them were really sweet, but some of the comments were saying, oh, if that's how you feel, you should just stop making videos. And it's like, why? Because I'm being honest about how I'm feeling right now at this moment in time. And I happen to disagree with where you're at this moment in time. I should stop making videos. I mean, so, I mean, I think that to me is, you know, I just discard that. I mean, look, we're going to get criticized no matter what we say. And as far as I'm concerned, yeah, I'd rather just tell the truth about how we're feeling and explore it. Doesn't mean that we're right about everything and every single point is going to be right. But if it's an honest conversation, and I said this last time, I mean, my genuine philosophy is that any conversation that's rooted in how real good people, honest people are feeling and what they're thinking, what they're experiencing is a worthy conversation. And I think that's why yes, people really like your show. That's why they like my show and others like it, because they want to hear something raw, something unfiltered. They want to hear people that it fully admit that they don't have all the answers, but they're fully engaged and committed the same way you are and experiencing the same thoughts and feelings.
Yeah. You know, I agree on all points, man. Like I said, just to keep this streamlined, I absolutely literally agree with everything you just said. And for me, Mark and I were talking last night. For me, it manifests maybe slightly differently, but like I said, I agree with you on all fronts. What I said to Mark last night is I said, and I'll change the story slightly, but I said, you know, picture you went over to Europe and you lost your wife lost her wedding ring, right? And you guys have been married 50 years and it was your grandmother's wedding ring. And now, you know, somebody calls you up and they're cryptically, they're like, by the way, I found your wedding ring. I'm like, great. I'm in Europe. I'm going to bring it back. And then the next day they send you a picture just to verify it. And then the next day they send you a video. And then the next day they send you another picture. And they're like, I'm coming to the States. I'm coming. I'm going to bring it. You're getting it back. Like, by the way, the next day they send you a picture of their plane ticket. I'll be there tomorrow. And then it doesn't come. But then there's, in other words, it's kind of like mine is more frustration than anything, because yes, does my subconscious naturally waver into that, did we get duped thing? Yes, my subconscious does, because it's human nature that this is a faith-based thing in many cases. That which you cannot see, your subconscious is going to question. Absolutely. But consciously, I'm in a different headspace. I get into these dark places because I get frustrated, because I see through it all. And that's what I try to post on my Telegram channel is, you know, even you take the Trump trials, for example. We've been talking about these since August. Now, I'm not some amazing smart person. I'm not saying this to like toot my own horn, but go back and look at what I said in August. I said these are to set a precedent. I know many of us said the same thing. I said, it's all a show. It's not going to go anywhere. Don't worry about it. What's the big deal? And what's happened? Every judge that's gone near him has gone exposed. You got Engoron taking naked selfies. You got Fannie Willis sleeping with a prosecutor. You got the other judge today in New York on the other trial. We find out her daughter gets paid to bring Trump. You know, it's the most absurd storyline. To try and believe that the most powerful people in the world couldn't scrub the internet to get Engoron's naked selfies off, and you couldn't pay a judge that didn't have all, you know, it's ridiculous. And what's happening? Charges are getting dropped. Charges are getting reduced. He didn't have to pay $450. They didn't seize any buildings. They reduced it to one. You look at all that and you say, how did we predict that? Well, because that's what would happen if the bad guys were not in charge, right? You look at Joe Rogan, and I know demographically we tend to have a little bit of an older audience on these channels because, quite frankly, the older people are more awake than the younger people. And I have to remind people of this, that we've had such a massive shift in the way we consume media over the last 10 years that most people, when you say Joe Rogan or you say one of these big podcasts, they kind of blow it off. But guys, Joe Rogan gets, you know, the way you judge impact is, and Mark knows this, he's spent 45 years in news, right? Who has a bigger value? the guy that goes on and he talks to 10 million people for 15 minutes a week, or the guy that talks to 20 million people for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, do the math, right? Joe Rogan talks to 15 to 20 million people 5 days a week. And what is he talking about? The election being stolen, COVID being a hoax, the jab being a bioweapon, Ukraine being, how is that happening? How is that happening? You have Jesse Waters the other day doing an entire monologue. Literally, the byline, I should have pulled it up for this show, said everything is scripted. And he's showing Sage Steele and how everything, she's basically, they're introducing people to Operation Mockingbird. Sage Steele from ESPN did a whole podcast to millions of people and told her how everything she talked about with Joe Biden was scripted top to bottom. She can't deviate from it. If she does, she gets in trouble. Then he transitions into a whole segment on Havana syndrome, which is caused by electronic weapons frying people's brains. You know, think about the stuff that's being discussed. And when you look at what's being discussed openly, and Patriot, like I said, I agree with you. This is what I'm getting at. I agree with you that it's not having the impact we want yet. But let's take this one step at a time. Would any of this be discussed? Would Joe Rogan, who, like I said, when you multiply 20 million people times 3 hours a day times 5 days a week, that is the most impactful broadcast on the planet, whether you guys like it or not. That's how it works. You multiply the time times the viewers. That's where, when somebody like that is talking about all these things that we've discussed that was never allowed, that was otherwise censored off of YouTube and everywhere else, and it was completely censored off of network and cable news for most of our lifetime, what has changed? Then you put in, obviously, all the different Q proofs we've seen and the 17s and all this craziness. And where I'm coming from is I look at this every day and I'm like, every day they prove to me that they're in control. In some regard, not 100% with it, but every day they prove to me that they're in control. Every day they show me something that if you break down the narrative, it doesn't hold water of the bad guys being in control. Yet, where I merge back in with what you were just saying is, what do you do when somebody can't hear the song you have on the radio? What do you do when somebody can't hear the television? You turn the volume up. And I think that's where I get into these dark spaces is not because I question whether or not we got duped. I don't think we got duped. The question is, do we take a step back and look at alternative ways this is going to play out, or what could be the reasons that we haven't had that seminal moment? And I think we do have to take into consideration, going back to like my football analogy, where things could happen in that last minute of the game. Like I said, 16-0 in a football game, you're going to win. It's not even a question. But if there's one EMP machine somewhere that isn't under control yet, if there's one container ship that has a container nuke in it, if there's one something somewhere that maybe they don't have control over yet, that could be the one thing holding up everything. And is that reason for us to say, well, nothing's happening? You know, there's so much we don't know that. That's kind of the way I think of it, is not that it's not going to happen. Because, quite frankly, the way I look at it is you could shut all of this off tomorrow. You could get rid of Trump and everything else. Doesn't matter. There's too many people awake. We're going where we're going. It might take a couple of years longer, and I don't think that's the case, but I'm just saying you could shut all this off tomorrow, and there's too many people awake in this country for us to go down the path of darkness. There just are. That's the one thing that gives me peace at night, is I could be completely wrong about the Q movement. I don't believe I am. But as far as the truth movement in this country and the people waking up to the shape of the earth and religion and all these other topics, you can't stop this. It's over. But going back to what you were saying, I think it's a fair question. And I think it's also worthwhile looking at the notion of, well, would it be the end of the world if we had an election and what Mark said, where what if that is the end game? What if the end game is Trump wins the election? And remember, they told us, remember 2020, the line was, if Biden wins the election, Trump is not going to leave the White House, and we might need the military to step in and do something. Well, what if they play that out in reverse? And as much as we're all suffering, and as much as it absolutely kills me to watch our incredible moderators, sometimes mentor people who are on the verge of doing something bad to themselves, and then at the same time watching people talk about their marriages of 45 years and they don't know the person anymore, they live in different rooms. That kills me. That's all happening because of this. Absolutely kills me, and I don't think it's really acceptable. I think there's ways to mitigate that. But at the same time, if the game plan is to do something at the election, you know, just because it's not where we want it to be right now and the timeline isn't where we want it to be, like, I start to look forward. I'm like, well, yeah, what if Trump wins the election and Biden doesn't leave and the military rips him out? Like, does that make us wrong? No, it's just a different timeline. But the last thing I'd say, I mean, I personally don't think that that makes logical sense, because I agree with what you said, Patriot. I don't see how Trump could come in. I don't see how they set up the optics of him being out of the way and then he's going to come in and be a dictator. And that's what leads me to believe that this is still going to happen a lot sooner than the election. But just because it does go longer, just because it does, it just, if it goes till June or July or August, whatever it is, like, doesn't mean we have to have this all or nothing mentality with it. And that's how I, you know, what I'm telling you guys right now, as long-winded as it might be, is this is kind of the, literally the mental gymnastics that I do every day to analyze it in my head and say, like, look, your mind might start wandering off to say, like, this isn't happening, but yet every day they're showing you stuff that it is. The question is there a harm in using natural questions of, like, why don't you throw us a bone? No, I don't think there's any harm in that. Just because Patriot or me or Mark or any other person goes in the air and says, you know, listen, do something. Or would it cause the society to unwind if they tomorrow on the news put out that they found a tunnel under the ground where they were trafficking children? Would that cause society to come unraveled? I don't think it would. And I think those are fair questions to ask.
Well, you know, one of the things that relates to this, but we kind of never really addressed, where you're talking about Joe Rogan with 20 million people, 5 nights a week. You have to look at perspective, too, because all three of us live in the outskirts of libtard central areas. And because of that, you could have in the Bible Belt or in the central, you know, the what they call it, the Harvest Belt, et cetera, those parts of the United States, you could easily get together 20 million people who are awake and watch Joe Rogan and this and that and the other. But when you get into the 9 million people in New York City, or 5 or 6 million people in the Boston area, all these different things that you get into, these large metropolitan areas, and you still see people walking around like the zombies, you know, watching mainstream media, and you see the guy on news at night, and the guy on news at night tells them this is happening, that, and they're just dead from the neck up. And we've discussed this in the past, where there are going to be a certain amount of people left behind just because of the fact that they're never going to understand it, they're never going to accept it. But it's these little pieces and the perspectives that different people have, because there are people in different parts of the country who say, I don't understand why it's not happening. I know all these people who are awake, who see what's going on, but they have no idea what's going on in the major metropolitan areas. And those are the libtard strongholds.
Yeah, but you have to not let yourself get skewed by seeing, you know, there's a store I go to, and every time I go to a store, I see the same one person with a mask on. You have to be careful. You know, what I try to warn people is not to get, you know, not to judge the entire movement by the same person you see every day, or the same five people you see every day on the way to the subway wearing a mask, or just because you have those three people that you talk to at the dinner table every night, just because those three people don't see it doesn't mean it isn't happening. And that's part of a psychological war. It's a balancing act, because there is no you know, there's polls are skewed and articles are skewed, and you know, it's not easy to get a clear handle on exactly what's going on. So I agree with you, Mark. It's like you could go to one area and you're going to feel a certain way. You go to a metro area, you might feel a different way. But that goes back to kind of the central tenet of what we're talking about here, which is I think we're all in agreement that there's simply no way to get around the fact that whether it's an EBS or a false flag or whatever it is, there's no getting out of this without that. I think it's going to be a multitude of them, but without starting to have some of those, like you said, Patriot, those water cooler type moments, those days where you wake up and wherever you go. I mean, listen, we had a mini one the other day, but we had an earthquake here in New Jersey, in New York, right? We don't get earthquakes. In fact, I find it funny, side note, it was a 4.8 magnitude. The epicenter happened to be 5 miles away from Trump's Bedminster estate, which used to be owned by John DeLorean. There's a lot there. But the bottom line, we felt it like crazy out here in Long Island, and all the phones started ringing. Right? It's that quick, right? It's that quick to have a moment. Obviously, that wasn't the case, but everyone started calling. Everyone, my uncle's calling from Philadelphia. People are calling from Massachusetts. Oh my God, you know. That's the kind of stuff we need. We need that. That's what we're looking for. That moment where, that, like I said, that water cooler moment. And Patriot, let's hear what you got to say on it.
I mean, I was getting ready to jump in there. Yeah, I mean, look, I it also occurred to me as well, going back to what we said about the Mark Twain quote that Charlie Ward kind of repopularized. A lot of people are waking up and they're just not admitting it. That's the other thing we have to consider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put it out there and we stated it as fact, and I believe it is, that it's really hard to admit to get somebody to admit that they've been duped, right? And so I think naturally, in a sense, that's where their own questioning comes back to us, because I think when you're awake, I think by virtue of being awake, you're the type of individual who has the courage to ask yourself that question, right? You're the type of person, that's the reason you're awake, because you were willing to admit that you were wrong about everything that you thought you knew in the first place. And I think that's probably the biggest barrier for people. So who's to say we're not inside of everybody else's head? I mean, obviously, when you see something visible, like, you know, I can completely relate. I mean, you know, I go to the same coffee shop every day going to work, and you see the same people who are wearing the mask and everything else. So when you see something like that, it's probably pretty obvious that person is, like Mark said, that person probably isn't waking up at this point. But what about all the rest of the people? I mean, does it necessarily mean that they're not waking up, or are they just not admitting it to you? Are they still fighting it? And that is a really important point to make as well, because again, there's only so much you can see before your brain almost like involuntarily even starts rebelling against the things that you thought you knew. And that's the same way all of us woke up. Right. The only difference is that I believe that we were in so many ways chosen. Our eyes, you know, the scales were removed from our eyes years before everybody else. But that doesn't change the fact that, you know, in essence, as human beings, we're really no different from our fellows that we're trying to get to wake up. But they're going through that process. Everybody's talked about the, you know, the five stages of grief, and, you know, the denial aspect is probably the hardest one to get beyond, because people will dig in. And they don't want to let go to everything that they thought they knew. And I think that even though, you know, that it's easy to call us conspiracy theorists, it's much more comfortable emotionally, psychologically. Let's not forget, this is a spiritual war. So it's much more comfortable at a spiritual level for people who are rebelling against all of this to slap a label on you. That's what the mainstream media did. That's the pattern that everybody followed. So just slap a label on that person and ignore, right? But after a while, you can't ignore anymore. Because if you're watching the mainstream news, even if you're still listening to the mainstream news, the truth is trickling out through the mainstream news too. It's gotten to that point now. Now, is it as fast as we want it to go? Absolutely not. I mean, look, that's one thing we can all agree on. I don't think there's anybody out there who would argue that, you know, we wish this had already been wrapped up by now. And that is the reason I think that there is so much of the cynicism. And that, let's not forget, there's still a lot of deep state operatives and so on and so forth that they haven't been mopped up yet. And they're out there trying to do everything that they can to stoke that cynicism, to make people doubt, to make people question. That's really the whole point. And I've talked about this really from a unity standpoint as well. Even within our own movement, we're seeing that same tactic being deployed, which is to manipulate people's natural doubt, natural fear. And, you know, if you're having a day, or maybe if you're having a week or even a month where you're just kind of down in the dumps or whatever, and you're starting to question things, and maybe I got duped and so on. And then all of a sudden you've got these voices that come out and say, yeah, you got duped. Right. And then there are people who are going to latch on to that as well. So that's yet another aspect of things that we're dealing with. But that's within our own movement. So I guess that's kind of, you know, a separate issue. But really going back to the broad picture, it's all about getting people to wake up, because the fact of the matter is that the white hats could come in. I mean, heck, they could have come in years ago. They could have stormed in and stopped the inauguration of fake Biden. They could have decided to do that. But if people aren't ready, and if they're not fully awake, or let's put it this way, they're not awake enough to be able to digest. We talked about crumbs a little bit earlier. Anything bigger than a crumb, what ends up happening? It backfires massively. And that is something. So it's like this balance here where we have to weigh these different things. We have to weigh our own experiences, our own thoughts, feelings, emotions, our own spiritual condition, our own cynicism from time to time, but also balance that out, like you said, Dave, with every single day. They're showing us they're there. They're proving us to us that they're there. Even with the earthquake in Taiwan, I mean, does it necessarily mean that we always know whether it's the white hats who pulled the trigger or whether it's the black hats who pulled the trigger? We don't always know. That's not always clear. But when we see all of these different proofs and we see all of these deltas going back, you know, several years, one thing is for sure. They certainly had the ability. There you go. They certainly had the ability to either, you know, plot and plan this out as a scripted movie. I mean, certainly there's also the Looking Glass conversation. I don't know if you guys really get into that. But you know, they augment this with AI. How does this happen? Now, does that necessarily mean, like I said, that every single time that it's, you know, that it could be that the White Hats knew years in advance that the deep state was going to do something? But I think it's showing us on a daily basis that there is, in fact, something going on behind the scenes. It's been going on for years and years and years. And it doesn't mean that it makes it easy. I mean, I saw a meme that kind of sums it up, you know, like easy was never the promise. Victory was.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to is like, you know, we don't have all the answers. We can look at all these proofs all day long and we're still going to be confused. We're still going to have questions. And I think that as long as we don't allow ourselves to gravitate too far in that direction. So that's, I'm willing to go there. I'm willing to have these types of conversations. I'm willing to, you know, to even tell people about it and do shows about it. But I don't take it. I don't take it and run with it, because to me, the reality of the matter is that my show is all about following the truth wherever it leads. And if I didn't think that I was leading in the direction of the truth, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I would see no purpose and meaning in what I do. And I started my show as really just a reflection of my own personal journey. I had no idea so many other people were going to have, you know, similar experiences. But here we are all these years later. And, you know, we can't go too far. We can't allow ourselves to get, quote unquote, blackpilled. But yes, we can ask these questions and we can certainly we can be a little bit critical. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, this is a military civilian alliance. We're part of the plan. We have a seat at the table. There's no reason why we can't ask certain questions, especially as you pointed out, when so many people, and I did as well, so many people are suffering. This is real. I mean, it's very, very real. Now, are we happy that we're not fighting a kinetic war? Absolutely. Would I take this over, you know, us going down the road of civil war, you know, absolutely I would. As much as this has been difficult, and that's to say the least, I'm grateful for the fact that the White Hats are the ones doing the kinetic act, all the kinetic action behind the scenes, and that our war, our challenge, our struggle is this. That doesn't mean, though, that it's any different on a psychological level than any other war. Because victory, you know, the day of the victory, I mean, you know, go back in any other war in history, no soldier ever knew whether that was going to be the last battle. They didn't know if it was going to be their last battle. They had no idea how long the war was going to go, how much they were going to lose along the way. I mean, so we also can never lose sight of that as well. So it's a balancing act. I think that's kind of the point that I'm getting at here, is that it's important to stay balanced. It's important to stay grounded. And that, I think, is, you know, a lot of people are having a more and more difficult time doing that. And I think that's why we like to do these shows and talk about these things, because I personally think that it does help people stay grounded. It helps them stay balanced to know that there are thousands and thousands and probably I venture to say millions of people out there who feel the same exact way they do. But go ahead.
Patriot, that's the basis of, I think. You know, like I said, as I told everyone last time we did this, that's how I ended up listening to your show, right? There were many times for me in late 21 and 22 where I was in a dark place at 3 a.m. In bed in the dark listening to you. And you helped me to realize, like, wait a second, I'm not the only one going through this. And obviously, as I've gotten into this, we have these communities, you realize there are millions of us. I have an article that I wrote on my website. If you guys want, look it up. Doesn't matter, because I'm going to summarize it here. If you guys want maybe a good way to kind of connect this to the past, think of Washington Spies. And there actually is a series. It might have been on Netflix or AMC. I don't remember. It's called Washington Spies. I encourage everyone watch it. Because the quick history is, during the Revolutionary War, is that General Washington, actually right here on Long Island and in New Jersey and up to Massachusetts, employed an entire network of farmers, complete civilians, that were running messages, that were running intel, that were spying on people, that were embedding themselves with the British. And if you study the history of that, it was actually key to that back half of the war, to winning. And you had people who were, you know, if you watch the series, one of the key characters they focus on was a guy who was living out here in Long Island in a place that was a British stronghold. So everyone in the town supported the British. And here's this guy that had to sit there and bite his tongue. And he, meanwhile, he was running stuff to Connecticut and New York City for the rebels, the Americans, living with a bunch of people here on Long Island that supported the British. And I wrote an article kind of paralleling that, because I really think that this is a second coming of that, where they've employed civilians to help with a military operation. That's what Q is, right? In a different way. But those people went through the same thing. They couldn't say anything. If they tried to explain why the Americans were doing what they were doing, they were called traitors and rebels and anti-redcoats and traitors to the crown. And it's an entire parallel. So, you know, there is precedence for what we're going through. But the second piece of what I wanted to touch on is, let's think about it this way. As frustrated as we get all these different signs every day. And the question becomes, if you actually stop and think about psychology and the impact of the events on human psychology and the events, big events on people. And again, now I'm playing devil's advocate on the other side. Why have we not seen confirmation? Why have we not seen those big events? Why is Biden still in office? Why has the mainstream media not been taken down? Well, think of it this way. and I'm going to get flack for this, but we're in war. If Biden stepped in for a month and then resigned or was taken out, that would have been a seminal moment in American history for sure. But what about if Biden was allowed to take office optically and then was protected by the justice system optically and then was protected by the judicial system optically and then was allowed to do what he's done to America optically for almost 4 years? Which of those scenarios has more of an impact on history going forward? Same thing with COVID. We're at war. Q drop 521. Not all will be clean. Now, if COVID was stopped at the get-go, did we learn a lesson? You know, you think about, I know, I'll give you another example. I think about autism. And to me, it's a crime as it is that they started these MMR vaccines that have clearly caused autism. That's bad enough. But then when the history book is written and you find out that not only was it bad, but it was allowed to go on for 20 years. In other words, there's a second piece of this, which is the impact of when the veil is lifted. And, you know, you think of your normie friend at the corner bar and you say, by the way, not only was the election stolen, but the election was stolen and then the whole system protected the election from being stolen. And then the media, in other words, they all these people combined not just to pull the wool over your eyes for a week, they all combined to pull over the wool over your eyes for almost 4 years. How do you feel about that now? So, and I don't like it. I don't agree with it all. I don't, clearly we're talking about this, so I don't agree with the impact it's had on our community and the suicides and everything else. But the flip side of it is, if you're trying to set the record straight so that not only you fix it, but you correct the history books going forward and you make sure you have millions of people from age 18 or 15 to age 85 that are going to do everything they can in their power, like I will till I take my last breath, to make sure this shit never happens again, what is going to be the most impactful thing? Why do they keep putting all these people back into the media? Why does Hillary Clinton have a Broadway show? I can tell you why, because the more you put somebody into public consciousness, the harder they fall when you do pull the plug. If you gave Hillary Clinton the runway to disappear for the last 8 years, it wouldn't have as much of an impact now when she does publicly get arrested. So there is that side of it. I'm not saying I love it, but there is that side of it. Is the impact when people actually finally realize that, wait a second, not only did, you know, because I think most people, like I did 4 years ago, honestly believe that there was a circuit breaker in place, that if the election got stolen, somebody would catch it. Well, now you're going to find out not only was the election able to be stolen, but all the people that you trusted to protect you failed, and all the people you trusted to tell you about it, the media, failed, and everything failed. So there is that side of it. And like I said, I can't say I agree with it completely strategically, but I do see that point of, like, you know, the more you let this stuff go, the harder it's going to be when all this stuff falls.
That's an excellent point. And, you know, I think, you know, it reminds me of in the early days, you know, when I started my show, it was something that got talked about a lot back in 2021, which is, you know, at that point, a lot of the quote unquote insiders, Intel people were basically coming out with this, you know, look, we're at war, you know, suck it up. And, you know, we've got to, you know, it was kind of like the overall message, in a sense, was that, yes, we've got to wake people up. It's going to take some time. But I think that back then, because we had just, well, I mean, we'd all been awakened by the Q operation, some of us before that, but, and certainly COVID, but we had been through the election and all these things. So we were kind of like, we were just like stunned at what we saw. But at that point, we hadn't had years go by before we saw some sort of intervention. So I think that the, you know, the impact of saying to people at that point in time, in essence, more or less, like, this is war, suck it up. I think that that was a little bit easier of a sell as it is today. But I think the real the problem is that, you know, I mentioned a moment ago is that this is a civilian military alliance, right? But what's the problem with civilians? They're not military. They don't think like military. They don't understand like what you just described, Dave, that whole, if that happens to be accurate and true. And I think you're certainly onto something there. How do you explain to civilians who don't really understand military thinking that they have to go through? And first of all, what they have to go through, how long they're going to have to go through it, and to get them really to accept that type of a mentality, right? And I think that's the difficult part, is that people are, you know, are civilians. They're not coming from, we're in a military operation. We're involved in this military continuity of government operation. But there's also about a million things that we don't know. And so I think that is kind of where I see a lot of that disconnect there, is that, yes, it's a military, it's being run by the White Hats, who are military. We all know that. But very few of us really truly understand, unless you've been in the military, and I haven't, and you have that background of, you know, basically being told to just follow orders and to, you know, to soldier on, in essence. I mean, that's what happens when you're at war, right? Nobody coddles you. I mean, in a real kinetic war, right? I mean, you know, people are worried about whether or not they're going to survive the next battle the next day. But, you know, nobody coddles you. Nobody holds your hand and wipes your nose and tells you everything is going to be okay, and, you know, all that sort of a thing. But this is an entirely different war. It's unprecedented in history, as far as I'm concerned. As far as I know, there's never been anything like this, where you have millions and millions of people who recognize that the status quo, the norm that they've always known, is, let's just say this, I think that a vast majority of people out there can at least identify that the world is not the same place that it was a few years ago. Yep. Right. And there, I think a lot of people who wanted to go back to the way it was, but I think more and more people are coming to the realization that it's never going to go back to the way it was. Right. But how do you convey that same sort of mentality, that same sort of spirit? And I think that is, even though we don't have military backgrounds, we understand the basic elements of the plan, and we believe in it and can articulate it. And I think that's why shows like ours have become like rallying points, in a sense, because people need that camaraderie. They need that morale boost. That's another important part of war. I mean, what happens if you're going through war and you just continually feel like you're losing every single battle, even though you may not be, right? Even though your unit over here might be having a really tough time, you know, but other units are winning battles left and right, but you don't really know about all of it. You're really kind of focused on what's right in front of you. And so I think there's that. I think there's a lot of disconnect happens there between the, you know, where the information is flowing from, out of the White Hats, trickling down through, you know, whoever they give their information to, then trickling down to us so that we can talk about all these things and we can analyze the cue drops and so forth. I think that there's a lot of difficulty, because at the same time, you know, people are, you know, like we said, people are having to go back and forth. Like, we understand it, we get it. And so therefore we're struggling to understand why other people don't get it, and why the White Hats aren't moving quicker and doing certain things, like, that we all know would wake people up in a heartbeat. If the mainstream media went down, that would wake people up in a heartbeat. You know, if there's a million different things. I mean, if people lost access to their bank accounts, that would wake them up in a heartbeat. You know, or if, and I would even argue that even any one of these major figures that, you know, we can debate importance all day long, but any one of these major public figures that is considered elite, considered to be untouchable in a sense, even by the people that support them, I think that would be a total game changer. It would radically shift consciousness. And I think, going back to kind of where we started with, you know, me talking about my show and why I did that, I've been asking that question all along. And, you know, not just to myself, but, you know, to my guests as well. You know, like, why is the mainstream media still there? Why this? Right. Why? You know, I mean, I think it's important for us to ask these questions. We don't have to just Absolutely. Sit here and just wonder about it, but not talk about it. That's crazy. But again, I think that, you know, we are where we're supposed to be, like it or not. And I guess, I mean, I don't like it necessarily, but we are where we're supposed to be because this is God's plan. And that ultimately, wherever it goes, wherever it leads, I mean, this is my personal philosophy. My opinion, my belief is that, and I told people right from the get-go, that even if this went in a totally different direction, even if it turned out that Q is a psyop and we had to get physical and everything else, I mean, regardless, I'm not backing away from this fight. And I know that nobody else out there who's been committed for this long, we're not backing away from this fight. We know we've committed ourselves to it. We know that there is going to be a resolution. We all know ultimately what that resolution is going to be. But getting there, I mean, this has been a long journey. It's a very, very long journey. It's had a lot of twists and turns. And I mean, you know, just and that's where the Diddy thing came in. You know, it's like when you see that, when you've been kind of led down this long and winding road, this path for years and years and years, and then suddenly you see something big, you go, oh, my God, this is it. You know, and I think that's the way people are just naturally wired. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. As long as you don't allow that to then make you fall into that cynical trap, that cynical loop where suddenly nothing has any validity anymore. And then you just become one of the, you know, the people out there who just wants to black pill people. That can happen. And that's happened to a lot.
Yeah. And that's the point, because that's why I think this conversation is so important, because I like people to kind of center themselves between, just because you're questioning something, which I think all three of us on this panel and looking at the comments in the chat, thousands of people as well agree, just because we're questioning it doesn't mean you go, like we say, the common thing we keep saying about throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? Just because we're questioning it doesn't mean nothing's happening. And that's the one thing I try to remind people of is I'm here, and that's why I wanted to do this tonight, because a lot of people have been telling me I'm a cheerleader and I'm all, no, I'm in agreement with everything that's being said on this panel. But the question is, do you suddenly ignore everything we've watched for the last 3 years? No, but it's absolutely worthwhile to look at it in a critical light. And before we go any further, real quick, as we're coming up on 90 minutes here, guys, we are going to take a few live calls. So this is going to be your opportunity to speak to myself, Mark, and Patriot Underground. Doug, if you're behind the scenes, if you could post that link into the Rumble chat. So there's going to be a StreamYard link that's going to get posted. We'll put it up here on the screen as well. And you guys can, there you go. Thank you, Doug. You can type that into your browser. That'll bring you right into the studio. You don't have to show your face. It'll be voice only. So if you're shy, no problem. But if you guys want to comment or have questions on anything we've been talking about tonight, or just have any general questions about anything we all discuss on our platforms, please chime in. Now's your opportunity, and we'll post this in the chat as well. So while we wait for everybody else, but yeah, Patriot, I agree. Mark, your thoughts. What do you think on?
I think pretty much so. It's all been said, because we understand where we are. We understand the point that it's gotten to, but we're all feeling the frustration. We're all feeling the angst. We're all feeling the disappointment. But war is a fluid thing. There is no set timetable. There is no set date. There is no set place or anything else. It's a fluid situation. And it'll happen when it happens. We'll very evidently see and hear when it happens. But we're not going to know in advance, because they're not going to tell us in advance, nor should they tell us in advance. Nor are they going to put anything out in a Q drop or anything else, because the black hats have just as many smart people there who are going to interpret it and say, oh, here it is, it's happening now. No, that's the whole game. You know, in all my years in the business, they were all union jobs, And that was one of the games that unions always play. You know, it's a tag team match between the unions and the companies, where you go and you're going through contract negotiations and you pull the play, oh, we're going to go out on strike. We took a strike vote. So now the company's got to gear up and they've got to have people ready to fill in when the just in case the unions walk out. And it's a game. So they spend money in this and that and the other. It's the same thing here. It's a chess match and it's a military action. And it will happen. No, will happen because it has to happen. Just the whole idea of the RV has to happen because of the fact that the world is bankrupt. Not just morally, the world is fiscally bankrupt. So the RV has to happen in order for there to be money flowing, actual money flowing. But it's a fluid game, and we've all just got to take that breath and get over that hump. And I think we can. I really, truly think we can. I think these discussion panels really help to get people over the hump.
I agree.
I agree with everything you said. I had somebody call in, but it looks like their device disconnected. So, MC, if you could drop out and come back in. Guys, the call-in link is there. We'll hang out as long as you guys call. So click that link and dial in. But Patriot, I had somebody ask me that question in the chat here, you know, and I'll throw myself out there first. I'll throw myself under the bus. If somebody asked me the most important thing that could happen in the coming weeks that would change the entire face of where we are right now, it's anything to do with the financial system. I think especially given, you know, we talked before about the areas we live in. We're all here in the Northeast. We're all in very blue areas. We all happen to be in or around areas where there are cities and concentrations of wealth. And obviously those people with that wealth are able to ignore this longer than the ones without. That's just the way it works. You look at silver popping over $27 an ounce. You look at BRICS making its advance. You look at the U.S. Treasury note crashing. You look at the level of exposure that the banks have to derivatives, the level of debt that the banks are carrying, the commercial debt that's crashing. If somebody asked me tomorrow, what is something that, forget the Q stuff, although it's all intertwined, and I actually say this all the time, separate the two. When I speak about finance, I separate that from the Q operation, because although it might be under some control by the white hats, I'm telling you right now, everything that we talk about with the financial system, or like Mark just said about the world being bankrupt, that has nothing to do with Q. That's a fact of economics of where we stand right now. So I still say my opinion, if you guys are looking for something to hang your hats on in between all this other stuff happening that can't be stopped, it is the crash of the financial system. And I remind people all the time, don't go by the stock market, guys. That's the shiny object they want you all to look at. It's always been that way. Yes, I know the Dow is at an all-time high, but guess what? Every other financial metric known to man is near an all-time low. So I don't really care what the stock market does. That's what the low information people are going to hang their hats on. That's what they want. They want to be able to tell you that the stock market's at an all-time high. It doesn't matter that credit card debt's at an all-time high. Foreclosures are at an all-time high. Car repos are at an all-time high. Credit card debt is an all-time high. On and on and on. That's the one thing that you can't disconnect from. And if you ask me what the one thing that can't be stopped, that is frankly, in my opinion, nothing to do with Q. You could eliminate Q tomorrow and say it's a psyop, even though it's not. Everything I talk about with the finance is still where it is.
And what was the one positive thing we discussed that happened yesterday about finance?
Zimbabwe going gold.
Zimbabwe, yes. Big news.
You know, and that's, you know, and that's what I said to somebody the other day. So somebody asked me about that. I said, and they didn't quite react. And I said, wait a second. You've had how many world leaders across the earth, whatever shape you believe it is, over the last 100 years have been assassinated for trying to go out of the central bank system? You've had Lebanon taken down, Iraq taken down, Syria taken down, Venezuela, all these countries taken down. for going against the central bank system, yet you want me to believe all of a sudden in 2024 that the poorest currency in the world, the currency that is worth $120 trillion to like one U.S. dollar, that they were suddenly allowed to go outside the Federal Reserve System, outside the central banking system? And then you read the article and it tells you the Central Bank of Zimbabwe issued that currency. Really? So you're telling me that the VHS companies decided to sell DVDs to cannibalize their own business? Because that's what that's saying. That the central bank issued gold-backed currency in Zimbabwe? The central bank issued money that they can't make money on? You know, that's something people should hang their hats on. For sure. But we do have a couple people calling in, so you guys want to take some questions?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. MC, you're up first. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Yeah, you bet. So I was wondering what you guys' view is on this upcoming eclipse. Just like the different energies in the people, the emotions, everybody's like swinging from one end to the other. And, you know, things like these three rockets that are supposedly going to be fired up there that day. And also, if you don't mind, maybe talking about it. What you're thinking maybe about the red heifers that are supposedly being sacrificed in Israel. I mean, we hear like 4 days before this, you know, about these red heifers. So anyway, it's just crazy. So I was just curious what you guys think about this.
I think I recognize that voice.
I think you do.
Yes, I think I do. Well, I mean, I talked about the eclipse the other day, and while I'll fully admit that I don't have a real, science background in the sense that there are a lot of other people I think who could speak a lot more intelligently, I think, about the science behind the eclipse and so forth. It's fairly obvious that whatever is happening is being, I think this whole event is being built up. Now, we've seen many, many eclipses in the past. Now, I know that they're not, you know, super, super common, but let's just say it's not as if they're completely unheard of either. And the level of response that we're seeing, preemptive response to all of this, you know, you look at the National Guard, you know, the deployment of the National Guard in several states all across the country. And then you've also got the biohazard units that have been deployed as well at the same time. You've got the mainstream media pumping all types of propaganda about it. Then you've got CERN firing up the Large Hadron Collider at the same time. The NASA's shooting rockets up there supposedly to study. I forgot what it was, the rationale that they, you know, that they said something about studying the lapse in the light. I can't remember exactly. I read the article about a week ago, but it seems to me that it's a massive distraction. Now, I don't personally believe that we're going to see any. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would be happy to be wrong. Believe me, that, you know, maybe we will see something major on Monday. I don't. And it's kind of similar to what we were talking about before. I think it was, you know, Dave who mentioned, you know, the White House are never going to telegraph anything. Now, there's different levels to this conversation. There's the whole conversation, the scientific conversation about the different energies that are coming in to the planet that people are responding to in various different ways. There's also the conversation about this energy being able to affect the weather. And of course, we've seen a whole bunch of earthquakes. Is that actually what's going on, or is it just cover for that? Is that the reason why we've been hearing so much about these solar flares and solar storms and all of these different events? It seems to me like, and by the way, when I heard about CERN, immediately I thought to myself, wait a second, it was about like 2 or 3 years ago that I heard that the White Hats had taken control of CERN. And I do believe that to be true based upon the individual who told that to me. In fact, there were more than one. So to me, it seems like this is being just like anything else. I mean, like Dave said, they're not going to telegraph their moves. Trump said, you know, we're never going to tell our enemies when we're going to attack, but attack we will. Do I think that we're going to see some major event on Monday during the eclipse? Probably not. But like I said, I'd be very happy to be wrong about that. Like I've said before, I'd be happy to be wrong about anything if it led us to victory faster. Do either one of you guys want to pipe in on that? I have more that I could say, but I don't want to monopolize here.
I agree on all fronts. And, you know, one of the advantages of having one of these communities where we have tens of thousands of people that get together on these live streams and in Telegram is you get to really get a good cross-section of what's going on. And I've been speaking to people all over the country. You know, none of this adds up. Upstate New York closing schools, and they're giving people ridiculous, they're telling people in towns of 200 people that they're going to get like 200,000 people coming into their town. I mean, for an eclipse, I know it's a significant event, but I'm 45 years old. I can't remember in my lifetime, like tens of millions of people flooding to towns to watch an eclipse. It doesn't add up. And like you said, the National Guard being deployed. I think I saw, I'm going to butcher this, but it's at least five, if not more, states that declared states of emergency. You know, and there's two ways to look at it. There's the people that are looking at like the white hats are setting us up for an EBS in this big event. I don't think that's the case. But there's a bunch of people. Oh, we lost Mark again. There's a bunch of people that are. I think the concern is there's a bunch of people that it's a black hat operation. And, you know, to echo what you just said, if I'm wrong and something happens, I'll be the first one to come on and talk about it that day. But the way I looked at it is this, when I start seeing all these moves, I say to myself, I think about all the false flags that we've had in our life, right? All the different events, you know, from the Challenger to Sandy Hook to 9/11. And in any of these events, did they warn us? Did they, like before 9/11, did they deploy the National Guard? Before 9/11, did they tell us to get food? Did they tell us to stay off the highways? You know, so before here in the Northeast, a lot of us are sensitive to Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, which we pretty much know was a HAARP type event, right? That was an amplified storm. I don't remember getting a warning sign saying the National Guard's coming in beforehand. I don't remember getting a warning sign saying keep your kids home from school. That's not how the deep state works. They don't tell you to keep your kids home from school. They want your kids in school. They want more chaos. So as far as the dark side, I have zero concerns about any of it. I agree with you, Patriot. I did. Mark and I showed last Friday the headlines coming out of the New York Post about CERN. And how it just happens to be in the story. They say they have 17 types of particles they're looking at, and they're shooting it down a 17-mile tunnel. That's interesting, if you believe in Q. But the fact that they're telling us so much, I don't see it being a dark side event. Quite honestly, and this is a guess, guys, no information, no military, no one's calling me. My analysis is you can put all this information out all you want, but how do you actually gauge public opinion? How do you gauge how the public will react when you tell them to stay home? Like here on Long Island, all over the highways, it says stay home. How do you gauge that? How people react to what the government says? You use an event like this and use it as a test. How will people reply? I think it's going to be a nothing burger. Mark?
Look, I can only take the cynical mainstream media point of view. Okay, I've said it with every storm that's come through and everything else. If the mainstream media doesn't scare the crap out of you, you don't watch. So this is just, I think, and look, again, my opinion, but I think it's going to be a big nothing burger because I've lived through, I don't know how many solar eclipses in my life. They never closed the schools. They never told people to stay home. I can understand the point, you know, if you're driving during the day, you don't want to be driving during a solar eclipse because human nature, you're going to look up. You don't want a whole bunch of blind people driving their trucks down the LIE. But by the same token, this is nothing new. We had one 7 years ago. I think we had one 7 years before that. This is nothing new. But the fear porn with this one, like the fear porn with everything that's come up over the past bunch of years is there. And as long as people buy the fear porn, put those teeth back in, it works. But if we don't buy it, we move past it. So we'll see what happens in 48 hours.
That's right.
Well, and that's the other thing. I mean, the 72-hour rule probably applies to that as well. You know, we'll have to see how things all pan out. I mean, we can say, that's the other thing. I mean, sometimes things look like a nothing burger on the surface, right? And then after a little while, we kind of unpack some things and we realize, oh, some significant things actually did happen. It didn't happen the way that we thought it was going to happen, or we didn't, you know, maybe it wasn't that, you know, that big turning point. But that doesn't mean that something significant couldn't have gone on. Now, whenever there's a massive distraction, clearly that indicates that if that's what this turns out to be, then clearly that indicates that they're trying to distract you from something that's happening probably right around the same time, or, you know, they're trying to get you to look over here so you don't look over there, like we've said a million times. But you don't necessarily know what the function and the purpose of the distraction was. So like in the sense that, like, when you talk about a nothing burger, sometimes it can be your expectation that turns out to be a nothing burger. But in the grand scheme of things, there's actually a lot of stuff that really did happen that was very important. Maybe has nothing to do with celestial events. Maybe it has nothing to do with a solar eclipse. Maybe it has to do with, like we said, deployment of military resources. All of these anomalies, that's the real story to me, you know, is yes, there's the fear porn element of it that seems to be there with everything. But when you see, it's always like, you know, I always ask myself that question, you know, the cui bono question, like who benefits from this situation of all these, you know, the deployment of all these different assets and so forth. And if you believe what we believe and where we're headed, it would seem to me like this would be a really great way to, in a sense, almost like, you know, not only deploy all these different resources, military and otherwise, but also, in a sense, I think what the White Hats are doing here is they're kind of priming the pump. They're getting the public ready for something big to happen. Doesn't mean they're going to tell you when it's going to happen. We've already established that and how it's going to happen. But they're still priming the pump and they're getting people ready, just like the Simpsons did, you know, like for the past several decades. It's kind of like there's predictive programming that we typically associate with the cabal for obvious reasons. But then there's also kind of the flip side of that coin, which is, you know, coming from the White Hats, coming from a good place to prepare people, to prepare the consciousness for something big to happen. And what this does is, yes, I mean, it could have the effect on us, the awakened, to be like, oh, it's another nothing burger, and for people to get cynical again. But it also has the effect, I think, in the broader population, to prepare people for something major, even if that major event isn't happening now. And it could be, like Dave, I think, alluded to, that maybe they are. I mean, we know that the White Hats are monitoring what we're talking about. They know how, I mean, they're going, that's probably one of the most important metrics they're looking at, is how people online are responding to all of this information, not just in terms of what they do on April 8th, but in terms of, you know, like how we're processing and how our consciousness is kind of being led to expect some sort of a major event. Now, with us, and this is what we've been talking about tonight, it's the fact that our expectation is, like, compared to the rest of the public, it's like light years ahead of everybody else. So we're already expecting things. But I think that the public in general, the mass pop awakening, you know, that Q talks about, has to be, I think there has to be a lot of preparation that goes into that, psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, to get people ready for that big event, so that even if it's not on the 8th, when it does happen, at some level, people have been prepared and preparing, right? So even if it's, you know, nothing happens on the 8th during the eclipse, well, okay. But maybe people are starting to think, wow, things are really getting crazy now. Maybe I should go out and get some extra food. Maybe I should, or like with, you know, I talked about this in my last episode, the whole situation with Boeing. You know, all these planes, all of a sudden, you know, I mean, it's like, since when
is it a daily occurrence to hear about engine failures in planes? And all in Boeing, and it just so happened that this John Barnett guy was supposedly suicided as he's giving a deposition. I know this isn't part of the question, but again, it's all about, I think, like the narrative preparation, getting people acclimated for what's coming. And I think that and not only that, there's also multiple different objectives with every operation. It's never, whether it's the dark side or whether it's the white hats, it's never one simple objective. They have multiple objectives. Could be to move resources and manpower, military equipment, but it could also be, you know, a psyop on the public for all the reasons that I just discussed. But I don't think that I don't think that something like this, where it's telegraphed like this, where it's going to really turn out the way I think maybe a lot of people out there might be expecting, that we're going to have some major event. I personally think that major event, whenever it does happen, it's going to be like that thief in the night.
I agree.
No one's going to see it coming. No one's going to, let's put it this way. No one's going to expect where it came from or how it happened. Because, I mean, if that's, to me, it just seems like, and it doesn't mean that somebody might not predict the day. I mean, everybody out there is making predictions. Sooner or later, somebody's going to be right. But I don't think it's going to be a scenario that any of us really saw coming. And when we see it, you know, the narrative prep like this, to me, that's just like a dead giveaway that, you know, if you're expecting that everything's going to happen on that day, you might be disappointed.
Yeah, this is another one of those situations where, you know, I get a lot of people that come in. They're like, they come in to our chat, and I'm not perfect. I'm no expert. But one thing we've tried to do, is not give dates. And then they come in, they're like, all these truthers are given all these dates and it doesn't come true. And well, start to think about what you're buying into. And I'm not talking about specific truthers. I'm just saying, you know, when an entire group of people decide that this is the day it's going to happen and nobody could actually pinpoint where that information came from, you got to deconstruct that. But one more thing I want to remind people of, just something that's in the back of my head all the time, especially over the last 6-7 months, we've seen and we know all the Q drops. We're not going to get into Q drop 22 in particular, but all these different Q drops that talk about the National Guard being deployed. We know that Trump declared a national emergency on March 27th of 2020 that is still active with 1 million reserve and National Guard, which, by the way, is all of our reserve and National Guard. They didn't tell you that, but it's all of it. And we've seen over the last few months, this National Guard, they're right now in the subways in New York. They're on the border in Texas. They're on the border in Arizona. They're active in California. They're active in, I think, Oklahoma because of the eclipse, all these other places. And I want to remind you, think about all the times you've seen National Guard deployed over the last year. Go back and look up and find if you can find any articles about them actually being, whatever the word is, called back. In other words, how many stories have we seen over the last year about National Guard being deployed, and how many times have you seen the story about them being recalled? They're all still out there. It's kind of, to me, it's been a slow roll putting them in position. But
I've also heard, too, that a lot of Marines are being called back to active duty involuntarily. Yep. I mean, yep. Now, again, you know, these are situations where you can't really you know, you can't hang your hat on a TikTok video, right? But when you start to see hundreds of them, you know, circulating of people saying, well, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, I there was one particular that I just watched earlier today, a gentleman who said that honorably discharged about 11, 12 years ago. And suddenly he just got word that he's being called back. Now, again, yep. Can I prove that? No, I can't. I'm throwing it out there as part of the discussion. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, the National Guard hasn't been called back. And and let's also remember, too, that none of Trump's key executive orders have been rescinded either. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that something is going on. But I think that this is a situation where I do believe that eventually at a certain point in time, the white hats know that, and by the way, all the places that you talked about where there's already been deployment, these are just the places that we know about. Okay. At a certain point in time, I think there has to be somewhat of an uncloaking of the military presence prior to the EBS. I think that that's kind of what's part of what's going on here, because let's face it. I mean, here, and I mean, you know, I've been to, you know, many different countries, and it may be completely normal to see military on the streets in other countries. It's not normal to see that type of a presence in the United States. That's not what we're used to. And so I do think that there's a you know, again, kind of similar to our whole theme tonight, you know, which is getting the normies up to speed and, you know, waking people up and so forth. I mean, you know, you don't want people to just suddenly wake up one morning and have military all over the place without any kind of psychological preparation. And I think, again, you know, this whole idea of, like, you know, these, you know, leave the world behind type movies and so forth. I think a lot of that stuff, you know, is actually my personal opinion. I think a lot of that stuff that's being attributed to, like, Obama and the dark hats and so forth, I think that may have a little bit more of a white hat, you know, hand in it than some people might think. To use their own weapon of predictive programming, but wield it in a positive way so that people can get prepared, not so much that they, because the predictive programming thing is just kind of to get people to just tacitly accept things. And that's not what this is about. It's not getting people to just accept the New World Order, accept, you know, like a police state. That's what the deep state wanted. But I think that the white hats also recognize that the tactic they use to get people to accept things, they're using that in a sense. It's kind of like the metaphor I used was we all know about the frog in the pot. That's how they, you know, they all got us in there, is they just very, 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 very slowly, gradually, painfully slow, would turn up the heat, you know, and then if people got, you know, kind of upset about things, they turn it right back down, and then they'd wait till everybody was calm again, and then they turn it back up again a little bit more. And I think that the white hats are doing that in reverse. They're trying to get everybody, I think they're trying to get all the frogs to jump out of the pot. But that's not going to happen unless, you know, they can gradually kind of, like, be, you know, because at this point, I mean, there was a time in American history where they needed to get all the frogs to jump in the pot because people had a very different mentality. It was a different time. But here in 2024, we've all been living inside that pot our entire lives. And so even though it's, you know, it's hellish, you know, we can see it that way. It's also the only thing that people know. It's their comfort zone. And so I think, again, so much of this has to do at a very deep level, I think, spiritual, psychological level, to get people ready for these changes that are going to be. I mean, there are no words to describe how big they are. There really aren't. There's no possible way that you could overstate the changes that are coming, in my view. And I think that so all of these different events that we're seeing or that we're expecting that don't turn out to be the way that we expect them to go, I think they are serving a purpose. Even though we may not see it right away, we may think it's a nothing burger, but in the grand scheme of things, when the history books are rewritten, I think we might have a very different opinion on
it. It's very funny that you just happened to bring that up. Timing in life is everything. And Merrill just sent this to me. This just in from Wilkes-Barre, Scranton area. It said public advisory number 1 of 2. It was dated yesterday. Approximately 70 military helicopters will be flying through AVP's airspace this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. AVP officials were informed they will be departing from the Rome, New York area in small groups, continuing through AVP's airspace to their final destination in the Philadelphia area. The times are unknown, and they could vary each day. The public is advised this is only an exercise, and there is no need for concern.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, Mark, because I noticed on Telegram today, and this is a whole separate conversation, I got reports out of Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, Jacksonville, and I believe two other places in the country where people are getting similar reports over the next week. All these, you know, training exercises. So,
yeah.
Yep.
All
right.
I think so.
Karen Clark, you're up next. Karen Clark, you're on with Patriot Underground.
Hey, Dave, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good. Hi. I have been listening and to your Patriot Underground for years as well. And thank you for everything that you're doing,
Thank you for listening.
This is so important for all of us to get a community like this. So I'm very appreciative. I think Patriot just said a lot of the things that I wanted to chime in to say that I honestly do believe that that we're in a PSYOP on, you know, we've been living through a PSYOP with MK Ultra all our lives and all our families, but now we're living through another PSYOP imposed on us by our own military and the Global Military Alliance. It's a necessary one, but this is why we're all feeling so torn and pulled. And, you know, we know we're not hearing the truth yet. We know that we're getting little glimpses of the truth, but we're all feeling this way because we're in multiple PSYOPs. You know, when the truth finally comes and the evil goes away, it's going to be such a breath of fresh air. I think that's why we'll celebrate for an entire year, because, you know, we're just all so exhausted with the PSYOPs. You know, they're coming at us from every direction. And even if it's what we think is good information coming from our sources that we all listen to, that, you know, about the laws and orders and all these different sources that we believe this is really what's going on, we're still part of the, we're being used, you know, to continue the operation, because until it's over, it's not over. And that means they're still doing the operation. So we're just in it. We're just part of the operation as the citizens of the world. And so, you know, this is the pull and tug that we're in, you know, so, we want the truth to come out. We want this to be over and all of that. And I think that the eclipse is just what you said, Patriot. It's to position the troops. And it seems to me like all this information that's coming out, like about CERN, about the Devil Rocket, about this, that, and the other, you know, the things that are going to be shot up. And I think they're just throwing it all out there because they're trying to just get it out there. You know, because we're running out of time now, and they want people to have heard as much as possible about this stuff. That's not necessarily anything the White Hats are doing, but it's stuff that has been done to us. And so they're using the opportunity of the eclipse to kind of get it out there, to kind of throw it up, you know. So, you know, it's a tough time because it feels like we're very close to the end. And, if, you know, I just love the sound of the military being getting into place, you know. I'm a single person, so I wonder, you know, like, are my patio doors safe? You know, could somebody come over the fence? Can they easily get in? You know, like, you know, they've been trying to ready us for supplies and things, but what kind of readiness? I mean, are these 500,000 indictments that they say are still outstanding that could be 90? I think Mark, you stated this, that there were 500,000 indictments, and each indictment could be 99 people. So that sounds to me like they got a lot of running around to capture up. And so are those people hopping fences to come in our places? You know, like, why are they talking about the newcomers, the illegals coming in and taking out our homes? Is that another thing to just kind of wait? You know, there's just things we have questions, you know, and we don't have, there's no authority answering any questions because it's a military operation and it's top secret and it's a need to know basis. And if you know, if anybody was leaking it, they would be treasonous. So here we are.
That's right.
Right. So that's why we're all so, that's why we're all so tired. Right.
I think, yeah. And I think you summed it up perfectly. I think that, it's incumbent on us. And I know this becomes cliche for so many people, but you're certainly demonstrating here. It's, you know, that's what Patriot does on his platform. It's what Mark and I do over here. It's like, that's why it's important. These gatherings are so important, right? That's why I called this show the Town Square. It actually wasn't by accident, right? Like, how did that work? How did it work back in the day? How did people get information in the 1800s? Yeah. I mean, in the Wild West, they all gathered in the Town Square and people came in, and Patriot would stand up and say, well, I got this information here. And then Mark would say, well, hold on, I got this. And you'd all figure it out. And that's what, I mean, realistically, if you study the Q operation, that's what the design was, to get us away from these giant centralized mainstream media conglomerates and to shatter the information into this decentralized communities where everyone could actually finally get together and talk openly like this?
Well, I turned my cable off years ago. I haven't had any, so I only seek out the news that feels right to me. But I'm just wondering, you know, if the White Hat Military Alliance, Global Alliance, if they're waiting on something that we still all need to do, because I, you know, that kind of gets me, like, if we all stopped paying our income tax, they would know who is not paying their income tax if it stopped coming in to, as a revenue.
I want to hear from you guys. My opinion is I don't think they're waiting on anything specific for us to do, because I'm just, again, I think about military precision and military logistics. And if there was something that they wanted us to do, it would be very easy, especially in today's technology era. And in the networks we have, it would be super easy for them. They could put one Q drop out and tell us what to do, and we'd all do it. I think if there was something specific that they wanted us to do that they were waiting on, there would be a more clear dissemination of information. I think the fact that we're in this crazy fog is almost like they want us awake, they want us ready to help people, they want us doing what we're doing. But if there was something specific, they're like, listen, this would end it by next week. Listen, if you guys all do this, fill out this form, and by next week you'll be having beers on a cruise ship, I think they would have done it already. That's my opinion.
The other thing I was just thinking is that, you know, the enormity of the way that they've altered our history, because there were star forts and different energies, that the technologies that they had. I don't know if you watch Dutch Sense about the earthquakes. He does those, and then it's a guy
Karen, I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off, just so we have a bunch of other calls. I want to keep it on one topic. So, guys, do you want to just touch on the last question real quick first? Do you think there's something specific that the White Hats are waiting on from us that they want us to do?
I think that it goes back to what we've discussed for quite a while now, which is, you know, while everybody focuses on it being something biblical, being in a religious aspect of this, that, or the other, I think that what they're really looking for is more of a unification of man, which, if that ever happened, would be absolutely biblical, because you can't get two people in New York to agree on the same thing if you dropped $1 million on the floor. But if mankind were to join together, and that's why, you know, and I always get told I'm being preachy when I do this, but if people took the small actions, which are only inconveniences to themselves, to shut off the TV, stop going to sporting events, stop patronizing all the big businesses, and really start to affect the big businesses' bottom line, because they're not getting their advertising dollars worth, because they're not getting the revenue coming into the stores or into their online shops and this and that and the other. If we could generate that type of impact, I think this thing would go flying through, because these people would go nuts looking for a place to subsidize their revenues, and they ain't going to get it. So, you know, that's a little something. But the unification of mankind, I think, is what they're really, really looking for, trying to see people actually unite for the cause, because that's how it's going to have longevity.
I agree. And I'll also say this. I mean, in terms of, I agree with what Dave had to say, and also with what Mark had to say. I usually do. honestly, I think that the whole point of this operation is to cause cognitive dissonance. I mean, that's really what this whole PSYOP is all about, because not just to drive us crazy, even though it's been doing that quite well. The only way that you break up, and this is a whole separate conversation, but I'll just say this, the only way that you can reverse and the bonds, the psychological bonds of trauma-based programming, MKUltra programming, is through cognitive dissonance. It literally is to reverse the process. It's kind of like I was talking about, like reversing the frog in the pot. It's the same sort of deal. They want people confused. They want, it's not a simple matter. I agree with Dave. I mean, you know, Trump or Q could come out and tell us, you know, stop paying your taxes. And if that, I mean, if that was like the solution or any type of thing that they wanted us to do, I think we're doing exactly what they want us to do, which is grappling. We're grappling with the basically with the emergence of the truth. We're grappling with a fifth generational psychological war that is literally designed to undo decades, generations of programming. And the only way that you, it's a messy process. It's not a simple matter of flipping a switch. And that's a big part of what, you know, again, do you really think that, you know, that the white hats didn't expect that we were going to have conversations like this? You really think that they're upset when they hear conversations like this of genuine patriots are just talking about how they're experiencing this war? Of course not. This is exactly where, and that's why I always say, I think we're exactly where we're supposed to be, even though it's not the place we want to be, even though it's not the destination. The journey is just as important, because without the journey, we don't get to the destination. And without the cognitive dissonance that's being induced, we're not going to be able to reverse all of those decades of programming, generations. I mean, we were born into a false reality. We were born into a matrix. That's not a simple matter of undoing that. And so I think that, you know, when people say, well, what is it that we should be doing? Keep doing what you're doing. I mean, if you can get more active, I agree with Mark. You know, I mean, I agree with any type of initiative that's going to, you know, be contrary to the cabal's interests, let's just say, in terms of putting out the truth and getting active and, you know, being active in your local communities. These are all things that people can do. And there's always more that can be done. But in terms of like the grand scheme of things, the big picture, I think we're doing exactly what we're supposed to.
Amen. Karen, thank you for the call. I got to move on to the next one. We got a few more here. Deborah.
Yes.
You are on with Patriot Underground. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate all you do. And this is like a roller coaster. It's horrible. But what I wanted to say was the only thing that really gets me with all these podcasts is when they say COVID hoax. And the reason why is because they killed my husband in the hospital. So this is no hoax. I think it should be referred to as COVID bioweapon killing, because that's what it was. And I have never fought so hard in my life for my husband. And the funny thing was, at the time, my heart, they had to check me out because my heart rate went to 200 when I found out he had COVID, because we weren't expecting that. And the first thing that he had to show he had it was a seizure. So I wasn't even thinking of COVID. That's one of the side effects way down on the line, seizure. Anyway, so they give me hydrochloroquine. I asked for that, and I was an outpatient. And so I told them, I said, I want my husband to have hydrochloroquine too. And the hospital would not do it. The only thing they would give him is remdesivir. So I was going to take him out of the hospital, but they wouldn't let me take the oxygen. So of course I couldn't take him out. I'd kill him. So anyway, it just puts a knife in the heart of the people who have lost loved ones to say hoax. This is not a hoax. This is real life, and it sucks. And so I don't know why I tried to get a lawyer for 2 years in my vicinity here as far as Atlanta. Nobody would take it on, nobody. And I wasn't going after medical malpractice. I tried to make them understand he was a Vietnam veteran, and I was going after his inability to have his choice, First Amendment, your right of choice, your right of freedom. You write to what you want. And anyway, no lawyer would touch it. I guess it would be too much money, too much time. I don't know why. So the 2 years for medical has gone by, although I tried to tell them it's not medical malpractice I'm after, because the FDA and the CDC were telling hospitals to do this. But you have a right. It's just like that mandated vaccine, you know, and none of the podcast people are bringing in people to talk about, you know, the things they went through with this. It's just like COVID's over. Okay, that's over. 20,000 people later, or how many did they kill?
Well, Deborah, yeah. First off, my sincere condolences. I don't know you or your background or anything, and I'm not here to try to defend anybody. I can tell you one thing. I know with the three people you've seen on the screen here, myself, Patriot Underground, Mark, none of us are referring to the deaths that have happened because of COVID as being a hoax by any means. I have people personally in my own life and in my own family and in my own friends that have died under the exact same circumstances as you're talking about with Remdesivir. So I can promise you that if you've ever watched my channel, my Telegram channel, or my podcast, the entire reason I'm in this entire shit show right now is because of COVID-19, because I will not rest until COVID-19 is exposed for what it was. I will not rest until every last person on this planet opens up their damn eyes and starts accepting what was done to us over the last 3 years, from locking us into our house to tricking people into taking Remdesivir. And I stand by that. I don't care how long it takes. When we talk about it as being a hoax, just to clarify, and again, I can't speak to other podcasts. I'm just talking about the people here. What I mean when I say it was a hoax is that the notion of it was a hoax. What they told us, the lethality of it was a hoax. The testing was a hoax. The treatment was a hoax. The hospitalization was a hoax. The coroner's reports were hoaxes. That's what we mean by it was a hoax. By no means, at least I can only speak for myself and the people here, I can promise you by no means do I think any of this, when it comes to the death or the destruction, and I don't even want to diminish what you've just said by talking about the destruction of businesses and relationships and families that are going to take decades, probably, in my opinion, to put back together, the destruction of cities, all of this because of COVID-19, none of that is a hoax. When we say it's a hoax, and at least in this circle that I'm talking about, and I'll let you guys talk, I'm talking about the notion of it. The bottom line is, just like every other medical issue in my lifetime, whether it's autism or even cancer to some degrees or everything else, the idea of the medical industrial complex is to take something that you can heal yourself or heal with alternative modalities or heal with Eastern medicine and trick you through a hoax into making you believe you need medicines and treatments that you don't. That's what I mean when I say a hoax. But by no means, Deborah, am I ever on this channel or Patriot's channel, I know that for a fact, trying to downplay what happened, because I promise you, besides the people that have been lost, all of us are either are dealing with the loss of people, of businesses, of friends, of family, of we're all still dealing with it. So it is not a hoax by any means. The notion of it was hoax. It was a psyop. It was a psyop that unfortunately cost millions of lives because they tricked people into believing that you don't need oxygen for a respiratory virus, but you somehow need Remdesivir, which had a 28% mortality rate. So I'll let you guys finish.
Listen, I appreciate that. I begged these people not to give it to him. And in fact, I got his medical record when it was all said and done. And the doctor even wrote in there, the wife says, we're going to kill him. And I would tell lawyers that, and, you know, they admit it. She admitted it. That's how I felt. And they continued on with it, you know. And he was not in his right mind because he'd had a seizure and it really affected his, you know, mentality. And he always depended. I'm a nurse of 40 years and I worked at this hospital. And so you can see there was absolutely, it was all for money. There was absolutely no, arguing with these people. But one thing that I did do, and I hope this does some good, I called the Joint Commission, which is an accreditation company over hospitals. And I told them this whole scenario, and it's a long one, and said, you know, were these people, and I even asked the doctors, are y'all doing any peer reviews? Can anybody come to me and say, Deborah, don't worry. We've given 1,000 doses of Remdesivir and, you know, 980 of them made it through it. No peer reviews, nothing. And I'm arguing with these people and I have COVID myself. They found out after they took care of my heart issue I was having that my heart raced up to 200 when I found out he had to admit it because I thought, oh, no. Anyway, it's just been a nightmare, just a nightmare. And I know there's so many people out there, but it's like none of the stories are being told. I've heard one of a man, I think his first name is Scott, who had a 19-year-old Down syndrome daughter who they killed in the hospital. And that's even worse. My husband was 74 at least. But anyway, I just, you know, hope that one day there can be a podcast of grieving people, to get this out, because I know people are suffering like I am. If you just want justice, if I could just hear that they're going to hang Fauci, you know, next week, that would.
They're going to hang Fauci.
I sure hope
you
so.
You are going to get to see him. I don't care. I'll put it out there. You guys want to screen cap this and replay it? Go ahead.
I think it's happened already.
I agree. Deborah, the last thing I want to say real quick, that this is just something, a piece of advice that I give to people, because I get it. Because trust me, we all, like, I don't have a COVID claim. I have other stuff that I need to take up with the government and the legal system. All I can tell you is this. Right now, my best opinion is keep doing what you're doing. The fact that you're here, you're speaking out, you're participating, that's part of moving the needle. But your justice is going to come through what the military is doing. And in the legal system, if you're going to chase down, which I recommend, but if you're going to try to look for your justice through the legal system, do it by connecting with other patriots, because it's going to come through class action suits. No attorney is going to take this on their own right now while we have a corrupted system. But there are a lot of people out there right now that are putting together class action suits. I have to admit, it's not that easy to find. I am even trying to find people to get on this podcast to help bring attention to it. And it's not that easy, but there are people, just like the military is doing things behind the scenes, there are a lot of Americans, in my opinion, millions of Americans, that are putting together a counterpunch to this right now through class action lawsuits. So I would say try to do that research and connect with those people. Don't try to do it on your own, because trying to get an attorney to take on this medical system right now, it's not worth it. Focus on class actions.
You can't. They won't take it.
Thank you, Deborah, and God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you, Deborah. Yeah, I mean, you know, and I'll just say this, you know, this isn't over yet to Deborah. This is not over by any stretch of the imagination, but it also, you know, once again, it ties into where we started this conversation tonight, you know, with people suffering and talking about, you know, how much we need that win, that morale boost.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, Deborah just gave us, you know, really a heartbreaking example of that. But the good news is that, like I said, it's not over yet. And Cuomo, from what I understand, is, I think, been recently subpoenaed. You can expect that he's not going to be the only governor. And this is going to go the distance. I agree with what Dave said. I mean, in terms of trying to file a lawsuit on your own, that's not going to be effective, but absolutely. I mean, what's happening is that there's been a wave, you know, that's been building and building and building and building. And I think that what we're seeing right now and what we're talking about right now is the frustration that wave hasn't finally, you know, become visible to everyone and just crashed down and taken all of these evil people out. It's coming. I'll leave it at that.
I agree. All right, we've got a couple more here before we wrap up. Up next, Holly. Holly, you are on with Patriot Underground.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever backslid on your belief? I on April the 4th, I backslid on my total belief. I've been following everything for almost a decade. I followed Q-drops since, you know, 2017 when they came out, but I had a real bad backslide, and I want to explain it to you, and maybe, I don't know, you give me your opinion. But on April the 4th, I listened to a TikTok video of a Russian girl crying because Russia has called the draft in Russia, and she was sobbing. And immediately I thought about my 34-year-old son and how Biden in the last couple months had been dropping hints about doing a draft in America, and my son would freak out. I called my brother. I said, do you know anybody that my son could stay with, knowing that we're watching a show? This is just everything just hit me. Do you know anybody? And he said, yeah, I have some friends in Cuba that he could stay with. But I said, well, I'm just asking that just in case, because I can see as a scenario that they would bring that out. Now that
okay,
Russia's
Holly, I don't mean to cut you off only because we're running short on time with other people, but I get where you're going with this. So I'm not okay. trying to cut you off. Please don't take it that way. That's see where okay. you're going. Like, meaning, is there going to be a draft? But I'm just analyzing what you just said. Because okay. in the same sentence, you're telling me that you know we're watching a movie.
I know.
So if you know we're watching a movie, who is going to draft your son?
Right, but it's the anxiety that will cause my son. He's not awake.
But but Holly, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you up.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing it.
I know.
In other words, they need. I've spoken about this before.
I know.
That it to me, it's very obvious that they are doing things in every arena possible. In other words, they are doing things like that to wake up the military people who are asleep. They are using the FBI to quote unquote persecute Christians to wake up the evangelicals. They are doing things even in the sports world to wake up the people that don't watch any media besides ESPN.
They are doing
things with the Vatican. So I understand it's not easy, and I certainly understand where you're going and your son. But if your son is a military person and he is asleep and he thinks everything is fine and he can just go along with his life, well, what better way to wake him up to what this administration would have done if the military didn't step in than by having him believe that he might need to flee the country to get drafted? Imagine living through that for a few months. Do you think you'll ever forget that as long as you live?
Right. Well, what brings on the most anxiety, Dave, is I had to talk him down from suicide just a couple weeks ago. So he's bipolar. He's not in the military.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm coming from. But I want to share something else real quick, okay, that after I heard that, I backslid, and I tweeted this. I had a lot of response where people, they agreed with me, but I'm going to say this, okay? I believe that the black hats are trying to bring in the Antichrist before God's timing, and the white hats are trying to take down all evil on earth, when we know the second coming of Christ is the only way to take all the evil down. So I feel that day I felt like both sides were trying to play God. And then I put in another tweet that I'm going to be praying that I have a better attitude tomorrow. But I mean, you understand what you can see. Where
yeah.
We're
Holly, can I ask you a quick question? Is your son actually medically diagnosed as bipolar?
He was, and up until
then he can't be drafted.
But it was way back in when he was in elementary school. When he went to college, he quit taking his stuff. He hasn't seen a doctor in probably, oh my God, he's 34, at least 20 years. You know, because once he left the house, went to college, he stopped taking his medication, which is good because he uses CBD and stuff like that. But I understand what you're saying, but I thought the best way is just to get him out, because he's like a lot of kids his age. They don't see a future, honey. They really don't.
I know.
They don't.
And but that is part of the look. I don't like giving this answer, guys. One of you guys want to hop in and let you know. I don't. It's not that I don't have an answer. I'm not looking for answers. It's no different than us being awake and people in our communities want to commit suicide. It's happening in the unawakened community too. But
yeah,
I hope Holly that at least you know. Get it, you know.
Yeah, it's hard because he lives.
Hard.
He lives with me. Yeah, he lives with me. He has a wife. Go ahead.
Patriot, Mark, any one of you guys want to opine on this?
Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure where the question was going to go. I mean, you started out by asking, you know, have any of us ever, backslid?
Yeah. Have you guys backslid this? I mean, I felt like I really backslid, you know, pretty badly, because I post and I truly believe in, but it was because my son lives with me and I could just see what would happen. I mean, right. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, to answer that question, I think all of us have, you know, at least it's, I think in a lot of ways, that's in some form or another, what we've been talking about tonight is just this kind of natural questioning that we have. Now, do you want to call it backsliding? I mean, I don't know exactly how we would define that. It's like, do we actually like come to a different conclusion? I mean, I've never been in that place. I've certainly been in the places that I've described tonight. But I've never found myself, you know, landing somewhere in a conclusive state of, oh, this is all nonsense, or, oh, I got duped, or, oh, this is not what I thought it was. That's never happened to me. You know, and in terms of, I mean, you know, in terms of your personal situation, I can't really comment on that. I won't really comment
on that. Right. I understand that. Yeah. It's seeing also a lot of friends that actually red-pilled me when I first moved to this new city that I live in 8 years ago, they really red pilled. They have fallen away. They won't follow any of the stuff anymore. They've just thrown their hands up in the air. So I don't have anybody besides you guys that I can actually talk to, you know, verbally. Yeah. So that's another problem. Well,
that's a big reason why we do this. I mean, I know that's a big reason why Dave and Mark do it. It's what drives us and fuels so much of a passion to continue to have these conversations. And, you know, the reality of the matter is that it's really difficult because, again, we understand, like, we throw phrases around all the time, like the ending's not for everybody. Right.
Yeah.
But we also say it in a way that's somewhat emotionally disconnected, you know, from folks like yourself, from hearing stories. Like, in other words, I wouldn't listen to your story and then just follow it up by saying, well, ending's not for everybody, and just leave it at that. I mean, certainly that's kind of like, but I think it's kind of highlights what we've been discussing tonight in the sense of, like, we understand that the ending's not for everybody, but we also understand that real people are the ones who are suffering and having to, you know.
Yeah, do you feel that we have a really heavy cross to bear compared to the people that are asleep? And that's why, you know, my close friends, they couldn't handle it anymore. They just said, that's enough. I'm going back to the other reality. But I'm excited. I want to see the ending. I mean, we're making history. I've had a couple friends die. I'm almost 70, and a couple friends died before they could see the ending, and they were really looking forward to it. So, yeah, it's tough.
Such is the case in every war, but that doesn't make it easy. And it certainly doesn't make it easy to talk about, you know, especially when you're talking on a one-on-one with folks like yourself and, you know, hearing people's genuine heartfelt concerns. And I think that's really what prompted Dave, I think, and Mark, you know, to reach out to me and to want to have this conversation because of that very issue. To be able to give voice to folks like yourself and to acknowledge the fact that there is a flip side of the coin. Uh-huh. You're absolutely right. People do podcasts all the time, but, you know, and there are some people who have brought on, you know, panels of individuals who have, you know, lost folks and so forth. But it's few and far between, I think, because so many of us we're scrambling. Like I said, you know, we're grappling with all this information, trying to figure out everything on a daily basis. I think a lot of that healing, quite honestly, collectively is going to probably, you know, come when we do start to have those moments. Like, and that's really what we were talking about. I mean, somebody like yourself or the previous caller as well. I mean, having that irrefutable proof, regardless of what it is, how big or small, it would just absolutely do wonders for people's sense of morale, regardless of what their circumstances are. You have your circumstances. The previous caller had hers. We all have ours. And there are thousands of people out there who are, you know, struggling at one level or another. But none of us have been untouched. None of us have been unscathed by this. Some of us have been luckier than others. I will grant that, no doubt. But the fact of the matter is that in war, you know, everybody suffers. And it's just difficult because, again, you know, like to address your question about backsliding,
You know, it can be very tempting at certain points to just say, oh, the heck with this. And, you know, to just kind of want to go, like you said, go back to the other reality.
But you can't. I don't know
anyone who can do it. I can't do it. And even if I could, I wouldn't at this point.
I try not to turn on my computer in the morning. And once I do, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon before I say, okay, well, I got to do something else. But what else? Just real quick. I can't believe all the Trump supporters that they're not awake. You know what I mean? They want to follow Trump and they Yahoo for him and all that. And I have a lot of relatives that are for Trump, but the minute I try to talk about anything, continuity of government, anything to say, hey, look, they turn it off.
Holly, yeah. I'm not picking on anybody. If you watch our shows,
I do.
Remind people of this all the time. Listen, all the military needs is for people to know there's a problem. Full stop.
Yeah. We need to
you
have
know what?
That.
If you see somebody on the street, and they're a Trump supporter, and they're like, I hate Biden. I don't like the fact that our government's stealing our money and sending it to Ukraine. And I think our governors are corrupt, and I don't like what they did in COVID. Guess what? That's the only place you need them to be. They don't need to know about continuity of government. They don't need to know about Q. That was never meant for them. So, and don't get me wrong. It's as frustrating as hell that the fact that I have a lot of people in my life that know all this stuff. They know the New World Order. They don't like COVID. They don't like everything else. But they think I'm crazy when it comes to Q. You know what? That's fine because they were never meant to know about that stuff. So just let them be. As long as they're upset, that's all the military needs to do what they have to do.
Yeah, that's why I stay at home. I don't go out in public a whole lot because I can't shut my mouth.
Yep. You know what I mean? I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Holly, I got to get to two more callers. Thank you so much for calling in. God bless you.
And by the way, that's also the reason that Trump does, he makes the statements that he does and he takes the positions that he does that confound so many people.
Yep.
Because of what you just said. Being a Trump supporter does not equal being awake.
That's right. That's right. And that's exactly right. And not to get off on a tangent, but that's something I want to remind people of, that there are a lot of Trump supporters. You know, when everyone likes to bash on some of these other truthers or media outlets just because they're pushing fear porn, guys, that's a necessary part of the operation. The Fox News Trump supporter that is going to vote for Trump, but they think the economy's not that bad and they don't know about anything else. That's what when you see the fear porn out there about the human trafficking, and, you know, they're going to bomb us all with EMPs and all those other things. A lot of that is designed for those people that are just starting to come off of Fox News that they need to get the shit scared out of them. Pardon my language. So a lot of that is also by design. You know, it's not always guys on podcasts trying to make money. A lot of the fear porn that's being put out there is by design, not for us to scare those other people so that they... That's the first step, right? You wake up, you realize Fox isn't telling you the truth. Then you start digging, you start getting scared. And then if you want to dig more and dig more, you end up over here. But that's what that is for. So I just want to point that out. All right, up next, Beth. Beth, welcome on to Channel 17. You're here with Patriot Underground.
Hey there. I thought maybe she was going to bring up something that I had unfortunately watched last night that's got me really over a barrel. It's this Missing Link channel, and it's this David Quigley that's got a book out on Amazon now.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly...
This is the guy that claims he's JFK Jr., right?
Right. And unfortunately, the way that we've been matrixed, it's not exactly beyond the scope of stuff that could have happened. I mean, this is really blown me sideways. I mean,
Beth, where is his proof?
I don't know. I guess he's got a book out on Amazon like other stuff. I haven't researched it or anything, but
I mean, there's books out on Amazon that say the Earth is the shape of a diamond. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be, I just have to be
I know what you're saying.
You know, I'm Beth, let me tell you, I encourage what you're doing because I'm somebody that watches all that stuff. Like right. I watch, that's how I know who David Quigley is. I watch that stuff.
Yeah. But, well, that's why I'm asking you so you can straighten me out.
Well, I'm not here to straighten you out. Remember, I'm
But you're here to give me some, you know,
Does it resonate with
direction?
You? Does it huh? resonate with it? If you're watching that, I'm assuming you're somebody that watches a lot of information. If you're watching us and you're watching that, I'm assuming you dig into a lot of different stuff.
Don't really dig anymore. It's kind of like I'm led to certain things. I'm kind of just out here with my higher power guiding me and directing me. But I tell you what, I did cut it off because it was just so frustrating. But now that you're saying, you know, that, you know, where's his proof? And that's one thing, because I do believe David Strait. There's something about what David Strait does and what his, you know, being contacted by Trump all those years ago to do these things, whether people believe in being a state national or being sovereign or however they want to go at it. But there's just something that resonates with David Strait and what he said about JFK Jr. And, you know, this question, I guess, came up when I went to watch Phil the other night, because I followed Phil from the beginning as well, and feel very comfortable about what Phil does, even though, you know, there's a lot of truthers going at him. But I guess I'm sitting up here by myself again. So I thought, well, I'm always going on here to talk to y'all, and I just kind of needed somebody, because what you just said makes me more comfortable. But to kind of get off of that subject, because this is something I think that was more sent to me, was this new Neutral Swiss channel, which is Pascal Ndaji.
Yep, I know who he is. Yes.
Okay. And his dad was killed by the World Economic Forum. He helped to start it, apparently, but that's when it was going to be something good. And then whenever he veered off, that's when they took him down. So those things have been popping up connected to Channel 17. I don't know if you know, but they're in a loop with your Rumble, because when I'll go to find your Rumble, all of a sudden, here's a new Neutral Swiss, and they're short and they're to the point, kind of like, you know, people look at you strange when you want to say Trump could be a time traveler. But I don't think these people out here realize how much different the world is going to be and exactly how big our creator is and who our creator isn't, that we've been trained to believe or whatever, you know. So anyway, I feel better just having you said, where's his proof? You know, so I appreciate that. It makes me feel better. And I will just say the one last thing is, if these earthquakes are 4.8 and if they're only a certain depth, sounds like they're taking things out to me, cleaning up.
Taking out the trash.
I forgot my own thought before, but they told you that, the 4.8 earthquake here in New Jersey was the largest on record going back 240 years. So that would take us back to what, the 1780s?
Yeah.
My math right? The problem is the Richter scale wasn't invented till 1935. So by my math, that's the largest earthquake we've ever had in New Jersey. And we don't have earthquakes. So yes, I tend to agree with you.
Proof.
Something else.
Well, and the one last thing I'll leave you with is I bought me an $1,800 used minivan. So after 6 years of not having wheels, I have one. So we're making progress. God is good. He's in charge. I know this is going to work out. It blew a little smoke cloud into my JFK Trump stuff. So I'm still going with the spiritual guidance of Q and how everything's connected to JFK Sr.
Stick with your gut, Beth.
All righty. Thank you. God bless. I appreciate y'all. Good to see you, Mark and Patriot.
You too, Beth. Good to hear from you.
Take care.
Good to hear from you, Beth.
All right, guys. Before I go to the last caller, any other comments on that you guys want to throw into that?
How many people so far have been JFK Jr.?
A lot.
If you're JFK Jr., are you gonna go around on podcasts and announce to everybody you're JFK Jr.? And by the way, my understanding was that individual did not take a DNA test, which would be a very easy way to prove whether or not they're actually JFK Jr. I mean, to me, it's that simple. Yep. But again, I mean, I taking the DNA test out of it for a moment, I mean, just logically, do you really think? I mean, I happen to believe he's alive. Okay, but do I think that he's out there in the public, making himself visible? I mean, sure, we know he's a master of disguise. He may have appeared a couple of times in public. I'm not suggesting that. But do you think he's out there waving his hand and saying, "Hey, I'm JFK Jr.?" I don't think so.
No.
I think you just apply some discernment to that, and then, you probably put your mind at ease relatively easily.
Mark, you kind of look like JFK Jr. tonight. No, somebody's going to screen cap this and it's going to start a whole thing. Let's not go. All right. We got the last caller of the night. Come on, Steve. Welcome to Channel 17. You're on with Patriot Underground. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good, hey, man. What's
Steve,
going
how
on?
How are you?
If I was any better, I'd be in heaven. not that long ago, yeah. And as a disclaimer, this is not JFK Jr.
Are you sure?
Let me ask my wife. Am I JFK Jr.?
No, she said that. Sounds like him a little bit. No, anyway.
I asked her. She's the boss. Old, insignificant Marine. Just want to share some things. First, you guys did a great job. Really appreciate the level-headedness, the humility to admit the roller coaster of emotions. That's really cool. To see guys do that, and sometimes you see these shows from here and there, and they might take a position if you see that they know it all, and they do it intentionally, but it kind of happens. But some things that I think people are missing in this whole movement is the stuff that we're experiencing. We have a decision for everything we experience, no matter good, bad, worse than the other. But it's building back the character and the class that was robbed from our society through the generations. And I tell people, you know, I don't want to be that guy that goes to heaven and then I change. I'm supposed to conduct myself here as if I would if I was there. So the trials we have in life here, in this, even in this movement, It causes us to look at us ourselves and say, who am I going to be? What decision am I going to make? And if you look at, you know, I went to the Paris Island, and I understood going in, the drill instructor's job is to weed out the people who are going to cause harm or injury to others because they couldn't handle the pressure. You know, it wasn't being mean, just you can't have people in there that don't choose to make the right choices in the situation they find themselves in. So I think you guys are doing a great job. Keep up the good work. And I hope what I said makes sense.
Absolutely. Very well said. Guys, you want to tack on to that? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mark.
No, I mean, look, we all have our experiences. We all have our points of view. But like we said at the beginning, we're all human and we're all experiencing the shift that's gone on over the past couple of months, really, but more so over the past few weeks. And it's gotten very, very trying. And anybody who has any human sense about them is going to be put into that confusion. Anybody who's got any feeling about them is going to be put into that confusion, is going to have the backsliding, is going to have the different points of view. But our focus creates our reality. And if you believe, and you truly believe in what's going on, and you truly believe in the end game, and you truly believe that it's a military operation, and you believe that they're in control, like you said before, Patriot, you got to look at the destination. Enjoy the journey. Look at the destination. We're going to get there.
Mark,
may
I
not
got
be tomorrow.
I got one more real quick, and then we'll get to final thoughts. Let's run through one more caller real quick. Sorry, not to interrupt, but I just Lynn.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes,
this
go
is,
ahead.
This is okay. This is my first time ever calling in on a chat, so
welcome.
I'm not sure. I wasn't sure that I was doing it right, and I just figured it out. I guess I wasn't, but now I got it. Two things, real quick. I know you guys are great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love listening to y'all. First of all, I wanted to talk a little bit about the earthquake. I was listening to someone yesterday or maybe early this morning. Did you know that the earthquake, the epicenter of the earthquake, hit in White House Station,
yeah,
New Jersey? I mean, I just think that's kind of like we're talking about this is biblical, and she was talking about it's biblical, and also that the United Nations was in session when it hit. I just think that's kind of a little wink and a nod from God. So I'll leave that there. And the other thing I wanted to mention was the Key Bridge. I just was listening to somebody. They were talking about how there is a Bethlehem Drive right on the port there. And on Bethlehem Drive, we don't know what the barge was holding, the cargo is, but on Bethlehem Drive, there is an Amazon fulfillment center. So I think a lot of us know about Amazon, but I just thought that was kind of another, I wonder. You know, you just kind of wonder about those type of things when you hear them. And I wanted to say to Deborah, I had a very similar situation with my mother, and I fought them. I fought the doctors hard. That she was dying. She was gray, and I went and I did research, and I typed up 4 pages of information, and I went back to that hospital and I demanded that oxygen, and they gave it to her, and she lived for another year. So the whole COVID thing is, it's crazy. I actually had a brain injury as a result of COVID, and it was a whole year, 2022, of I wasn't able to talk. I couldn't walk straight. I couldn't see straight. It was crazy. So yeah, no, COVID is real. Absolutely. And, I know justice is coming for that. So thanks, you guys. I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. God bless you.
Thank you,
yeah. Guys, you want to add to anything that she said there?
Well, go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, both Lynn and the previous caller, it kind of reminds me just over and over. I've been thinking about this on this panel tonight, is the resonance that people have with this type of a discussion. The previous caller talked about being better every day, I think that's ultimately what all of us are trying to do. As far as COVID goes, I mean, that's a really large conversation. But again, the fact of the matter is that we've all been touched by it in one form or another. Even those of us who, did the right thing and we resisted getting the jab, we did all of these things. But still in all, we lost family members. We lost friends over it. Many people lost jobs. They lost their livelihood. And again, this isn't over yet. And this is, of course, what adds, it contributes to what we've been talking about tonight, the angst, as Mark likes to call it. And I agree, this
this weight that we've been carrying around collectively now, both individually and collectively, because we have our individual weights that we have to carry. Some of them have to do with the journey. Some of them are just have to do with life. But it, of course, you can't separate the two. And I kind of made that point a little bit earlier ago. We've all collectively, we've suffered, and individually as well. And to hear about other people's suffering and other people's stories, if there's one thing I think that reaffirms my commitment to do what I do, and I think probably Mark and Dave would concur, it's these types of stories. It's hearing from real people in my audience who, you know, are willing to share their heart and to share their story and remind everybody out there, you know, and also themselves in the process, that they're not alone. And that's really what this is all about. We're not headed toward, and you know, Mark talked about the destination a moment ago. We're not headed toward a destination where there's no justice. And that's the thing I think we need to make sure we leave everybody with tonight. You know, I know we're going to get into final thoughts as well, but I can, you know, maybe, you know, leave that for, you know, for that segment. But I think that it's very, very important for people to understand that despite the conversation, the nature of the conversation that we're having tonight about our honest feelings, our doubts, our fears, our losses, the reason that we're still here is because we all know deep in our heart and in our soul where we're headed. We know what the destination is. We know that the destination is justice. And like Dave and Mark, they just do such a great job on a daily basis reminding everyone. That's why he puts all those proofs out there every single day, all these deltas. It's not just so that he can amuse himself. It's because he's trying to demonstrate to everybody out there, and of course to himself as well. I mean, we're all in this together, that the reality of the matter is that we are in a war. We are winning that war. It's taken its toll on all of us. There's no question about it. And for some of us, like I said before, I mean, there's no such thing as, you know, equal across the board. A lot of people have suffered more than others. But being somebody who stands up for the truth, period, is a very lonely road. And we've all experienced that. But the beauty of it, and as far as I'm concerned, what really has changed my life is that ever since I started this journey, and I had people resonate with my voice and tell me their stories and connect with me on a spiritual, emotional level, I've never been the same. And I've realized that the reason that I've never been the same is because I from the moment that I started, I stopped feeling alone. I stopped feeling more isolated than I'd ever. I mean, I was at a point, and I'll keep it really brief, Dave, because I know we're over 3 hours here. But I was at a point where I was just so isolated and felt so alone, like so many people out there. Yeah. And when I reached out and I, you know, put my voice out there to the world, I never imagined how many people would resonate and gravitate toward that, because this is something that we're all experiencing, that sense of isolation. But the beauty of it is that you're not alone. Nobody out there in the audience is alone. We're all brothers and sisters, and we're all going to get justice. And I agree wholeheartedly with Dave. We're gonna see Fauci hang.
I'll leave Amen. It at that. All right, I'm gonna let Drew talk only because he's one. Drew calls me every time. We're way over time, Drew. I got to give you 30 seconds, man. 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's fine. Hi, Patriot. Welcome. You're a godsend, man. You're just wonderful. I just wanted to say you're doing a great job for this movement.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right that, you know, we all go through these dark feelings that we're being played and but it's brief, and then it just disappears. And yeah, I just want to say, yeah, we got this. It's coming. Dave, I'm thinking of taking your bet on that on an eclipse.
We'll see on Monday, right?
We'll see what happens on Monday. We'll see what happens. I mean, the predictions are off now too. Remember, it's changed. They got the path off. That's a little weird. That's never happened before. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, anyway, yeah, you guys have a good night.
Drew, thanks for your continued support, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Drew. I appreciate the kind words.
All right. Well, It probably went longer than we anticipated, but I think that's what happens when you get to sit and talk to people that I respect immensely. And, you know, when you have all these incredible people calling in. So I think let's start with final thoughts and we'll go down the line. Mark, why don't you kick it off?
Look, there are a lot of good points tonight. And I think the Patriots just brought up one of the best points, which I was going to get to. We're not in this alone. We are a family. We've all been through it. The woman who red-pilled my wife and myself, we lost to COVID, to the remdesivir, to the intubation, the whole bit. Everybody suffered the loss. Everybody's seen it. Everybody's gone through the angst. Everybody's gone through the horrific situations that we've lived through. It is a war. But it's a war that we're all going through. Thank God it's not a physical war, but it's an information war. It's a psychological war, which can be a little bit harder to grasp and it can be a little bit harder to survive. But we all do have each other. And that's the great thing about this community, this gathering of people, all these strangers. None of us really know each other, but we know we're all in the same boat, and we know that we all support each other, not just because we have to, but because we feel that we're doing the right thing. And by virtue of that, we need to stick together. We need to understand each other. We need to be able to have those conversations without getting into arguments. And there are a lot of lessons to be learned from the normies, when you see what happens when you disagree with them, with their point of view and everything else. So it's important, remember that you're not alone. And as dark and gloomy as things seem from time to time, always remember we were told years ago, it's going to look its darkest before the dawn. So let's hope this is the darkest, minus whatever scare event or anything else that we have to go through. But let's hope that this is the darkest period and that we're coming out into the light. Because I think once we do, there's going to be a whole other realm that we're going to have to get used to.
Well said. Yeah, we said it at the same time.
Go ahead, Patriot.
Yeah, well, this has been one heck of a show. I mean, my goodness, I've never been on a three-plus hour long call. I did one that was 2.5 hours, and I thought, my goodness, this is like, I didn't think you could go this long. But here we are, and I'm still, you know, I'm still enjoying it. I've enjoyed every minute of it, to be honest with you. And I've seen a number of folks in the comments or the chat as well who have said the same thing. Look, light is the antidote to darkness, and that's what we're doing here. You know, we're shining, and I'm not saying myself, Dave, Mark, you know, I'm not talking about putting us on a pedestal. What I'm talking about is having these conversations. That's why I often say it's the greatest blessing of my life outside of having my children has been to be a focal point to bring this community together. And like Mark said, we are all family. And that's the thing. I mean, I tell my audience all the time that they've changed my life. People tell me that, you know, that I've had such a profound impact on them. And I say to them, my goodness, you have no idea how much you've changed mine. Yep. And each of us, you know, there's a saying, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but, you know, like sometimes really, you know, all that's necessary is to just be a small light in a dark room for people. And I think that's ultimately what we're all about. I mean, sure, we're all about navigating the day-to-day. We're all about grappling. I've used that word several times tonight because I think it's pretty accurate with all of the information. Mark said it's an information war, and in war you have to grapple. It's just the way it goes. But when we really step back and we really, you know, examine the 40,000 foot view, as I call it, I mean, we truly are all in this together. We've discovered a whole new family. We resonate with each other. We speak to each other. We support each other. We listen to each other. which I think is, you know, I mean, that's probably been one of the most important aspects of this entire journey, is that, you know, what people comment on my work, and I know in your work as well, these two gentlemen that I have enormous respect for, it's because people can recognize the humility, they can recognize the honesty, they can recognize that you're just an ordinary group of guys who are trying to do exactly what I'm doing, which is to paint a picture for folks and to try to say, listen, you know, we're all using our talents in different ways, but our job is to try to say, listen, you're not alone. This is a war. We're going to navigate this. We've been navigating this together the entire time, and we're certainly not going to give up now. And we're never, ever, ever. I mean, I never despair. I never have gotten to that point. Questioning, yes. Criticizing, yes, absolutely. But despair and losing hope and all of these blackpilling things, I mean, I'm just as adamant about that as steering clear of all that as I am about my belief in the plan. And so I just want to say thank you to you guys for having me here to be a part of this conversation. I think that, quite frankly, it's truly rare to hear conversations like this that come together so well. So thank you. And thank you to everybody out there in the audience. I love and respect each and every one of you. God bless.
Thank you, man. Well said. Well, I don't know how I follow up either of those. But first and foremost, real quick, I want to thank our mods here on this channel. Gabby, Kerry, Claudia Rose, Paula Marie, Kat, Doug, who's producing in the background. You know, and a lot of times the mods end up kind of at the center of, you know, controversy with people getting banned and everything. And that's what gets put out there. But I don't think most people realize, especially in a chat like ours, which has grown to like 3,500 people, these people take an incredible interest, an incredible amount of time and energy, not just doing the stuff like keeping spam out of the chat. That's nothing. But the amount of time that these people have taken with individual people in our chat and taking them to the side and helping them with their personal details. And I've had moderators stay up all night with people in our chat because they're on the verge or they're struggling with something. And these people who don't get paid, who their name doesn't go in the spotlight. And it's put me in tears at times to watch these people literally, you know, stay up all night and help these people through their problems. I'm honored to have all them. And that's one of those things that as we sit here and we do walk through the dark, that you can look that these people were brought into all of our lives and they're sitting there helping people every day. And I get to sit here and watch it. That's an honor for me. It's also an honor for me to sit here with somebody like Mark, who has been like a mentor to me in this short period of time, and somebody like Patriot Underground, who I respect immensely, who, like I said at the top of the show, has helped me personally in some of my darkest times. And even though I have my own shows, I will still sit here and I still enjoy listening to his voice. And I echo everything he said. I respect the hell out of the work that you do. And I think that's why I resonate so much with you, is I've really tried to model what I personally do after what you do on your channel. Because at the end of the day, I think all three of us share the common bond that we believe in what's happening. That, as we discussed tonight, there's nothing wrong with questioning, with repositioning. But that doesn't mean that we don't believe in what's happening. That's why we're here. And we're also here because each one of us absolutely understands the responsibility that comes with sitting on a platform like this. When there's, you know, by the time you put these, I think the last podcast we did together between our two channels, it was over 100,000 people between the two channels that watched it. And you think about that, like, you can't take that lightly. And I don't say that as a, in a braggadocious type of way. I don't care about numbers, but when I'm like Patriot Underground, where I started doing this, and I'm like, Mark knows this. The first show I did, I'm like, 500, 800 people watch. That'll be cool. You know, and then you see it resonating with people, and it changes to, on one hand, it is an honor and it's a blessing. And these people have, all these people, not only the people that I've had on the air, but the people that are in the chat, lift me up every time I do it. I might wake up tomorrow in a different place, but for tonight, you know, these incredible discussions that are getting documented for all of history, for my personal history, at least, I think, just shows it, there's no words for it. And you get to see all the comments in here and all the people that are benefiting from it. And that's what keeps you going, is you realize that you one day end up in a chair helping, you know, people look at us like I'm helping other people, and I appreciate that. And Mark and Patriot are helping other people. But I think what Patriot summed up so perfectly in his closing remarks there is, I think what all you guys should understand in the chat is every last one of you here is helping us. And I say that all the time. Anyone that watches our shows, I say that all the time. Mark says it all the time. Patriot says it. Like, you guys in your comments and your feedback and just being here and in the Telegram channels, like, it's a collective. It's a group. We all lift each other up. We all help each other. And, you know, when you understand what the Q operation was designed for, you know, there's not a single person in here, whether it's your first time watching or your 100th time watching, whether you never participate in the chat or you do, like, the fact that you're here, you are critically as important to this entire awakening process as everybody on the screen and everybody down in Mar-a-Lago and everyone everywhere else. This is a collective effort, and that's what it's always been designed for. And I hope that everyone remembers that, that every last chat, every last share, or just watching it, you're all participating equally. And again, I'm truly honored to be a part of it. And you know, every time we do something like this, and we talk beforehand, we're like, oh yeah, we'll run this for like 2 hours. And yeah, normally 3 hours, I wouldn't normally do a 3-hour podcast, but it just flows. And it just shows you, when you get a group of people together in the chat and on the screen who are passionate about this, and that enjoy feeding off each other and listening to, that's the key, listening to each other. It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, those are the things that when I have my dark moments, I remind myself of, you know, to look into what we're doing here and look what the people are doing in the chat and the people who have connected. And there is a lot of beauty that is coming out of all this darkness that's happening right now. And we shouldn't lose sight of that at any point. So with that being said, thank you, Mark. Thank you so much, Patriot Underground. Thank you, Doug, and all the mods. Thank you to all the callers and all the viewers. You guys have made this fantastic, and I look forward to doing this again.
And next time, it'll be on a new platform.
I was going to say, and the next time we got to do it over on Patriot side for sure. Again, thank you guys so much for participating tonight. God bless you all. Hang in there, and better days are coming. Take care, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
God bless everybody.